ജയ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യനിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ് വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേമസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമാനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോ ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ പുരുഷദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാതേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയാ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാന്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരേശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശോഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപതരോഗലിതം ഫലം സുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം ത്രിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവാഹ്യനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേ ഹിതന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷദാംഗമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹമുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ വിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണോ കുണിതാ ദൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे बहुरिन्नकनिकाभिकाभिकावि ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशाम् व्यासं हरिगतो गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्कं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमद्राधियायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवतं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन गृहीतं पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं द्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीमष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भगवद्वेषिणीं नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दाय तवत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवा पाराशर्यवजसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः व्यवीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मोघं करोति वाचालं पङ्कं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैर्क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः ദേവദ്വിജഗുരുപ്രാജ്ഞ പൂജനം ശൗചം ആർജവം ബ്രഹ്മചര്യം അഹിംസ ച ശാരീരം തവ ഉച്യതെ ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ വേർഡ്സ് വി ഡിസ്കസ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ത്രീ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് തപസ് സോ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദി സത്വഗുണം രജോഗുണം തമോഗുണം in three kinds tapas again in sattvagunam with the body with the words and the mind so first thing krishna has spoken is about sharira tapas with the body what's austerities one has to do with the body Shariram Tapa Uchyate, Krishna is saying. So yesterday, we have seen four things. Deva, Dvija, Guru, Prajna. Four things Krishna spoke about. What do we have to do? That is the point Krishna is making. Devan Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam. Devan Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam. That is our responsibility. Krishna is saying that if you follow these four, Deva, Dvija, Guru and Prajna, which we have seen yesterday, Deva means all the Devadas who are higher than us. For example, if we are traveling and if you happen to be in a place where there are temples, where other Devadas are worshipped, it is a responsibility, Krishna is saying, to go and pay your respects there to all those deities. That is Devadayajnam. Devada, that is how we offer respects to the higher personalities. Even though we may call demigods, still, because Krishna is present in them also, it's our duty to pay respects to them whenever we went to any places, anywhere where there is a famous temple or well-known place where deities are worshipped. So Krishna says, you offer your respects to them, Devada, Pujanam, Deva Pujanam. Then next thing Krishna spoke about is Dvija, Brahmana, how Brahmana should be worshipped. Those who are following the traditions of Vedic way of life, those who are studied in the Shastram, at the same time, they are living that life of a Brahmana. To them we should offer our respect. Living the life means the qualifications of a Brahmana. That what Krishna has spoken about Brahminical qualifications in the Bhagavad Gita and also later in the Bhagavatam. Oh, you can see the qualifications of a Brahmana. If you see somebody with those qualifications, Krishna is saying you should offer our respects to them. Then third thing, Krishna spoke about the Guru. We have seen the examples how personalities like Ekanath, through his simply by service to the Guru, he realized the truth. Without studying any Shastram, without engaging in any serious sadhana, completely absorbed in the service of the Guru. And so Krishna explains, the Krishna's point is that the service to the Guru has to be without any motivations, without any expectations or motivations. And if when a service is performed like that, like in the case of Ekanath Swami, which we discussed yesterday, Krishna will reciprocate for that service equally, if not more. Like Ekanath Swami served for 12 years, Janardana Swami, about 12 years he served him. But later on we see that after, and Ekanath Swami's service to Janardana Swami was completely pure. So pure it was that he understood the relationship properly, in other words, between the disciple and the spiritual master. Therefore, even when Janardana Swami left his body, he did not feel upset about it. Why? Altmano guru altmaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anavindade. Knowing very well that spiritual master is nobody else than the Antaryami inside, who has manifested himself outside with a form. That is the spiritual master. Spiritual master is Antaryami inside, who has manifested outside with a form. That is all. Krishna is the spiritual master, and who manifests in different forms. So that is Ekanath Swami's realization. So therefore, as far as he is concerned, there is no death for a spiritual master, and a disciple who cries about the death of a spiritual master, he has not understood Shastram. That is what he was explaining there. So Ekanath Swami's life is an example. Later on we saw this Brahmana who was serving in Dwaraka. He was serving Krishna in Dwaraka. And one day in dream state, Krishna revealed to him, if you want to see me, go and see Ekanath Swami. And I am serving Ekanath here. Krishna says to this Brahmana. So the Brahmana comes to see Ekanath Swami in his village. When he saw the boy who was serving Ekanath, Ekanath did not know that it was Krishna who was serving him. But seeing that form, the Brahmana who came from Dwaraka understood that this boy was nobody else than Krishna. So there are cases like that. So many interesting stories about the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. All in all, Krishna is saying, Devadvija Guru Prajna Pujanam. So Pujanam of Dorothy, if you have found a spiritual master, like the Ekanath Swami has found Janardana, or somebody who is realized and who has that qualifications, serving them without any motivations is the solution to the is the best thing, Krishna says. Then finally we have seen, which is more important, is Prajnam. Prajna Bhujanam. What does Prajna Bhujanam mean? Prajna Bhujanam means we have the examples in the Ramayanam of Ramachandra's explanations to that. Ramachandra says in the Ramayanam that he wants to go to the forest to see all the rishis there. What for? Prajna Bhujanam. Then to go to such great personalities and paying their respects to him, them, our respects to them, and receiving their blessings. Sometimes we may not know that whether they have given us the blessings or not. We may not know that. Or we may not see their greatness in them. We will not recognize it because of our own prarabdham. That's due to our prarabdham, that is. That we are not able to recognize their glory, their greatness. But if you had offered your respects to them, obeisances to them or respects to them, later on, sometime in life, this will come back to us some other time, in either in this life or in the next life, wherever it is. Because Krishna says to us, this Prajna Pujanam is like that. That the spirit, that great souls, if their drishti, if their vision has fallen on us, it will has to have its effect sometime later. If the way it happens, as he says there, that the much later people have realized this, how powerful that vision is. There are many stories related to that. But because due to our prarabdham, sometimes that will not have its immediate effect on us. Immediate effect on us. So generally what prarabdham does is, it blocks these realizations. Even when we have met a great personality, Mahatma, still, due to our prarabdham, we won't recognize their mahalpim or their glory. We will ignore it, and some or the other we will lose that connections there. But Krishna is saying here that whenever mahalpas or pratyams are found, there should be pujanam, there should be worship for them. In the Ramayanam, Ramachandra exclusively shown this by offering respects to the rishis in the forest. Bharadwaja Maharshi, Vasishta, Atri, and Agastya, and many others like that. Throughout Chitragodam Panchavadi, this is what was happening. Ramachandra's life is a perfect example to show to us. Vishwamitra, all those personalities, how Ramachandra worshipped them, paid his respects to them. And in due course of time, Ramachandra says, I am seeing all of them because Ramachandra saw that all of them have blessed him at the time of battle with Ravana. Later, mentions this in the Ramayana, that their grace, I have met with all different sages, have blessed Ramachandra, that you are staying in the forest, be peaceful, and you will achieve what your purpose for which you had come. They had the higher vision. The rishis had the higher vision. They blessed Ramachandra that you will succeed in your mission before going back to Ayodhya. And that's what happened. Ramachandra remembers all these things much later. Before he ventured for his battle with Ravana, so many things have happened before that. In that, mainly, it is this offering respects to all the rishis before that. That is what is called Prajna Pujanam. Prajna Pujanam. Ramachandra did this to all the rishis in the forest. And finally, he goes to Shabari's ashram, inquiring where is Shabari's ashram. Ramachandra goes there and offer his respects to Shabari as well. Shabari was by now very old person. But still, Ramachandra says, look at her beauty. Why? What's that beauty? The beauty of the tapasya, what she has performed in her life. The beauty of austerity. That's what Ramachandra was looking at. Ramachandra is not seeing the physical beauty. Ramachandra is seeing the beauty of the austerity, what Shabari has performed. Ramachandra mentions that, and Shabari left her body after that, soon after that. Ramachandra, Shabari waited for this to happen because Madanga Maharshi told Shabari that some great personality will be visiting you soon. So, like this you can see, Ramayanam is also a strong indication of these great souls. You can see Vidura traveled all over the country, visiting all the holy places. Why Tirthayatra? Tirthayatra is for this purpose, to go and pay, offer our respects in all the holy places, to all the holy rivers, all the holy mountains, and all the great places where great Krishna has manifested in different times, in different ways. So offering respects to them is a great, is a tapasya in the mood of goodness. Satyam. Shariryam and Satyam. It is based in the body, for Sharira tapasya it is, isn't it? And it's also in the mood of goodness. So sometimes we will see this in even recent times. We mentioned about Vivekananda yesterday. Before he traveled to America, he was saying that when Annie Besant asked him about his what was that motivated him to come, and what is that motivated him to speak in the Parliament of Religions, and how is that so many people were affected by that, Vivekananda says to them, it is nothing to do with me. Before I left Bharatavarsham, I have traveled all over, and met so many Mahatmas before my journey. All of them were performing their austerities and penances. They have deposited that in me, and it came out through me, he says. So offering these respects to the realized souls is a tradition in the Sanatana Dharma. Always giving respects to the previous acharyas, previous teachers who have come in the same tradition, whose austerity, whose tapasya is manifest through that person. Vivekananda recognizes that. He mentions this also, that it is nothing to do with me. It is that I have visited all these great souls in so many different... He remembers, mentions about Pahari Baba, who lived in Benares at that time. And he always, very often, he visited him and took his blessings. Pahari Baba's stories are famous. It is in you can read about that. So like this, visiting those great souls and getting their mercy. Prabhupada mentions before he left for America how he traveled all over and met many, many great religious leaders and took their mercy from them. He mentions this as well. So it is not uncommon, that it's quite a common thing, that Deva Dvija Guru Prajna, Prajna Bhojanam, it's called Prajna Bhojanam. Always staying in the shade of the great devotees, always staying in the shade of the great jnanis or great realized souls. This is that Krishna says here as Prajna Bhojanam. Prajna Bhojanam means that not acting independently, but always remaining under the shelter of the previous acharyas, previous devotees, previous jnanis, and who have come in the different traditions, who have always stayed in the Sanatana Dharmam shelter, under the shelter of the Vedam. That is what this Prajna Bhojanam means. One person once said that we went to see Abhinava Vidyatirtha, who was a famous acharya in the Sringeri Matham. And he says there that when I went and saw him, I didn't feel anything particularly special. And after many, many years, he says, I could experience that. My visit to that matham was a very unique experience. He says, when I had the darshan, and even though at that point in time I did not appreciate, but he mentions this, that much later, in due course of time, he experienced that presence of that Mahatma in him. So, because on the particular time when we pay our respects to these people, it may not have its immediate impact. The reason for that is we are not matured for that yet. But a time will come when we ourselves are matured At that time, all these respects what we have offered to the other great souls, that will come as a blessing to us. And it will only happen at the particular time when it's ready, when we are ready for that. So, otherwise it will stay in our intelligence as like a misinformation. It will remain like that. So, Krishna says here, what it's saying here is that if you have visited great personalities, if you have paid your obeisances to them, it is never a waste of time. It's never a waste of time. It's always a addition to your spiritual wealth. To your spiritual wealth. So sometime in later in the future, again that thought will come back again. What you have done before, where you have offered your respects to somebody, those that will come back again in some form, and you will remember about your meeting with that great soul, whomever you have met with in the previous life. So that is why Vedavyasa Maharshi says this in the, how he puts it is, he says that, Sahi dharmam supariyapto brahmana parivedana. Sahi dharma supariyapto brahmana parivedana. Even if you have seen these great souls even once, or if you have heard them speaking, or if you have experienced their presence in you, that's all the three things that can happen. Either if you have seen them, or if you have heard them, or if you have felt their experience in you, which means that you felt shanti inside, peace inside, in their presence. If this has happened, some other time, it will come back in life. It will come back in life. This is Vedavyasa's statement. So this is therefore, always seeing great devotees or liberated souls and paying our respects and obeisances to them, that is valuable. That's valuable for us. And we have to see that in all of them, there is, who is present there is a Mahatma. A Mahatma is present there. And that mood is necessary while paying our respects to him. Everywhere, to see the presence of Krishna as the spiritual master, and paying our respects to, we are paying our respects to Krishna who is present in them. That is important thing. Krishna is present in them, not that they are all separate Mahatmas. That's not the way we see it. In all the great devotees, jnanis, all realized souls, when we pay our respects to them, what we have to see is Krishna's presence in them and paying our respects to them. So, spiritual master is only one. That means once you have really met that spiritual master, then your life is complete. Because one person once spoke to the Mahatma like this, I have been to many, many spiritual masters, many, many gurus, he said. This is the finally I have come here to you, he said. So that Mahatma said, you shouldn't speak like that. Because you say you have gone to many, many teachers. Don't say you have gone to many, many gurus. Because once you have gone to one guru, then you cannot go, if you have really gone to a guru, and if it is really, message has been transmitted properly, then you cannot go to another guru again. It cannot happen. So you will be finished there with that relationship. But because it has not happened, that is why you are saying like this, he says to him. He gave the example that a mountain, a salt mountain, he says that I have gone and bathed in all the different oceans. But you know that mountain cannot, salt mountain will immediately get destroyed if it bathes in one ocean, isn't it? So therefore, we cannot accept that. Similarly, if we have met a proper spiritual master, then there will not be meeting another guru again. That is finished with that business, isn't it? So similarly, if you have understood this guru principle properly, and if you really had a genuine relationship with the spiritual master, then everywhere you will only see that principle of Guru Tattva. Guru Tattva, that's what you will experience. Therefore, Prajna Pujanam. Krishna says, Prajna Pujanam. And that is a tapasya. That's what Krishna says there. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam. So these are four things which can be done with our body, wherever we are, if it is possible. So that is considered, Krishna is saying, Shariram Tapa Uchyate. That is austerities of the body. Austerities of the body. After that, externally, you could stay and pay your respects to that person. Paying your respects to that person. Mahalpa, Jnani, great devotee, or a realized soul, whomever that is. In all of them, Krishna is present and recognizing that, paying our respects to them. That is important, Krishna is saying. Then the next thing is Shaucham. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam. Krishna has spoken. And then the next one is Shaucham. Shaucham means, that means to remain clean always. That is tapasya, Krishna is saying. Always to remain clean. Shaucham means, here what Krishna is not referring to, external cleanliness. That's not what he is talking about. Because spiritual purity, that's what Shaucham is talking about. Spiritual purity. Spiritual purity. That means, what it means is what we call sacred. Sacred thing. So, snanam, bathing is a part of Shaucham. For example, bathing in the morning is a part of Shaucham. And even that snanam or bathing for the body externally, that is mentioned, there is a process in the Vedam called mantra snanam, with the mantra. So, while bathing, one should chant the holy name. One should chant the holy name and bathe. That is the process. And in Vaidika tradition, there is a mantra called Akhamarshanam. Akhamarshanam mantra. So, chanting that mantra and bathing, or chanting Hare Krishna and bathe. Always chant the holy name and bathe. So, Krishna says here, that Akhamarshana Mantram also says here, that in me, inside me, as my Andaryami, there is Krishna who is present inside. And come all the time, the presence of that Andaryami is in the form of awareness, aham, aham, who is present inside, and that is a fire that's burning inside, isn't it? And all my sinful reactions of my activities, let that get burned in that fire inside. Or offering myself into that fire. In the Akhamarshana Mantram says, Aham Asmi, Yoham Asmi, Aham Eva, Aham Asmi, Aham Eva, Aham Asmi. So, and in this way, that offering one's sinful reactions in the fire of Andaryami that is burning inside. And that is the Akhamarshana mantra chanted while bathing. While bathing. Offering oneself. And let all my sinful activities get burned in that way. So, primarily what Krishna is saying here is that if our false ego or pride, if that goes away from inside, our sinful reactions also goes along with that. It is all our ego is all the sinful activities what we have done in the past. It takes a collective form and it becomes one unit inside, and that is our false ego. Everybody's false ego is nothing but his own sinful reactions which has collectively formed together and took up as the form of false ego inside. False ego inside. So if that is destroyed, the ego is destroyed, ahankaram is gone, then all his sinful reactions also is gone along with that. Krishna says, Shaucham is for this purpose as well, spiritual purity in other words. So, so it's a part of the bathing, it's a part of the Shaucham, what Krishna is saying here. So, olden days they have different ways of bathing. Nowadays it's all gone, we all bathe in a different way. It's completely a different lifestyle, isn't it? Particularly in the past, we will not, while bathing in the river, we will be careful not to destroy or make the river impure. This was the respect to the river offered. All the holy rivers, If you can see in the Gangeja, Minijaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmadi, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalesmin, Sanithim, Kuru. Why so much respect to all these famous holy rivers? Reason is this, that while bathing in that river, we are praying to her to purify and take away our sinful reactions from the body. And so, because it's meant for purification, And while bathing in the river, we take the water and gargle. And that is quite common, isn't it? So, and we drink that water also. So, and what is our modern culture? Modern culture is that Krishna takes the water from the oceans, and that salt water, through the power of the sun rays, he purifies them and sends it through the rivers for us. Is it not? That is Krishna's energy working. Taking the salt water from the oceans and turns it into clouds and finally supplies us pure water through the rivers to us. And we, from all our drainage, everything, we say, oh, the river is meant for that. Send it to the river. And like this we have done with Ganga Devi, Yamuna River, and all the other holy rivers as well. Many of them have dried up, many of them have been, this is us today. This is our respect to Krishna and respect to the holy rivers, isn't it? So, and as much as possible, we make it as dirty as we can, these rivers, and this is our culture today. So, so while bathing in the rivers and bathing in the tanks, temple tanks and places like that, that's snanam performed with according to the mantra vidhi. So, in the ancient times when they had the culture strongly present, in that time they used to follow these things. That when they bathed in the famous rivers, how respectful they were to the rivers. Everybody followed that. They felt fear inside that they were performing a spiritual activity with that consciousness. We have completely come to the standard of the, we don't even have that understanding gone from inside. There's so much talking about Ganga Devi, purifying Ganga and purifying Yamuna, isn't it? So many projects, this, that and the other, so many things are spoken. But when it comes to practice, this consciousness has not created. Once you lose your spiritual culture, everything is gone. Then the question is how to purify the river by our way of purification. We don't have to purify. They are pure on their own without our purification. As long as we don't go and pollute them, that's more than enough. But unfortunately, we do things like this, that the how we destroy them. So, in the same way, darbhagras, they used to pick them and grinding them and taking it inside. That was the system many people have followed. Or they used to put it on their head. Because darbha is a manifestation of Sri Parvati here. So, you can see Ayurvedam and Vedam is so closely connected in many, many ways. And this darbha here, it has got its particularly helpful for the nervous system which is operating. And there is Vedic mantras to support that. So, sahasavarama sarvatvam paratvam eva bhavam durva dusvapna nashini. That is dusvapna nashini. It helps not to have any bad dreams in life. And she has come, who? Devi. Sri Parvati has come in that form. So, if you, and you will, in the previous times, that used to be very plenty. In all the river banks, it used to grow. And so, nervous system gets purified by this manifestation of Sri Parvati in the form of darbha. So we become negative dreams or bad dreams comes due to our neurotic state. So this is supposed to be a medicine for that purpose. And all this is only we can talk about it today, but it's not going to happen in our life. So in the ancient times, when they have bathed, that they will put this darbhagras on the head, and with the earth, there was special earth for that, which they use for rubbing on their body. Nowadays that's gone. Apparently I understand that there's many manufacturers who have understood this, that this is what was used in the past, and they've taken it and started manufacturing perfumes and toiletries and everything from that, toilet soaps and things like that. So therefore all these are, people don't use them anymore, but it is used in the beauty parlor. All the famous manufacturers, they know where to look for all these things, isn't it? So when somebody goes and does it in the beauty parlor, it is acceptable. But if you do it on your own in the riverbank, then people say, oh, you are very old, you are not advanced. But if you go to the beauty parlor, you are getting the same thing in a different way. It is presented to them. So, mrtikam. Mrtika means the earth that was used for washing the body, for cleaning the body. It's something not new. It's a special type of earth. So, in the Vedic system, it was used in a very directly. That means it was not considered as a way of making money from that, isn't it? So for them, life itself was an art of living, the art of living properly. They understood that principle. But you can see the same thing. Now we don't know where the sun is rising, where the sun is setting, isn't it? So life is an art. Actually, it's difficult to say it is an art, because what the rishis did was, the whole lifestyle, they have turned it into how to worship the truth, how to realize the truth. In such a way, they have tuned the whole life in that process. That's all we can say about that. Whole lifestyle, they have tuned it in such a way as a worship of the Absolute Truth, Krishna. So we can't go now inquiring, where is the darbhagras here? It's not going to get it, isn't it? So, all these things done in a spiritual way, even bathing, chanting the holy name, or chanting the Akamashna Yantram. So in other words, to create that divinity, sacredness in all phases of life, while cleaning the body, while cooking the food, every time some relationship with the self-realization, into advance in that way. So while offering the water, that thinking that Krishna is present inside as Antaryami, I'm performing the Abhishekam for that Krishna who is inside us. And in that way, this way, turning the whole life into as a surrender to Krishna, that is called tapasya. And Krishna mentions there, shaririya tapasya. That means based on a bodily level. Therefore, cleanliness, cleaning the body, snanam or shaujam, is a shaujam. Similarly, how to take prasadam, another thing, how to take prasadam. Shijitam. In other, totally, altogether, while preparing prasadam, how to take prasadam, everything. If you keep on doing, what is the benefit now? Let's understand this. If you follow all these things, shaujam, what Krishna is talking about, shaujam here, bodily shaujam, shaririya purity, or snanam, bathing like this, the way Krishna has spoken, eating the way Krishna has spoken, cooking the food, eating and everything Krishna has spoken, if you follow this for whole lifetime, finally you will understand one thing. What is that thing? That this body will never get pure. This was the goal behind it. To teach us this one lesson, Krishna is saying to us, you live in this way. If you do it this way only, it will happen. Otherwise it won't happen. If we make our bathing, eating, cooking, all habits in a spiritual way, if you perform that, one day we will realize, one day it will happen, that this body will never get pure, will never get pure. And that is the first time when you realize that I'm not this body. You'll come to realize that at that point, because body will never get pure. This understanding will come to us, which we know very well. But whereas if you follow the modern system, Even at the age of 80 and 90, you will be looking for perfume to the body. But that must go. The attachment to the body has to go. And that has to happen from within. That realization has to come. So that's why you will realize this, that this body will never become pure. This understanding has to come. You know who says this? Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutra. He uses the word Swan Jugupsa. Swan Jugupsa means this. In the Yoga Sutra, it says like this, that this body will never become pure. Jugupsa. Jugupsa means a kind of disgust will happen to yourself about your own body. It will come to us. And then you have escaped. That's what is needed. You have to feel disgusted with your own body. That it can never be made pure because it's already has been given, taken away so much of your time in this life, taken your valuable energy for maintaining this body. But in order that realization to happen, you have to live in this way, what Krishna is talking about here. That is the idea behind it. So to get disgusted with one's own body finally, which will happen. You know very well when you get sick, very sick. You know, you look at your own body, you feel an embarrassment. Is it not? People are coming to visit you. And the nurses are putting all the sheets and everything from all sides to cover up, to still making presentable to others. What is there presentable in this body? Imagine that. It's giving trouble everywhere, all through the body. And especially at the time of death, if this attachment has gone away from inside, you won't think about your body anymore. You won't think about your own body anymore. The beauty of this body, you have already experienced it enough. Is it not? Prabhupada says that this body, right from the day one, it is an embarrassment to us. Is it not? So, Krishna is saying that by following all these things, the goal behind that is, if you are in the Satugunam, it will make you realize that this body can never become pure. It is not possible to make it pure. It's not possible to make it pure. So, and if this attachment to the body has gone, then you have become pure. Isn't it? Asakti or attachment to the body, if it has gone from you, that one impurity has gone from inside. That one impurity, there's an impurity in us. It is an impurity in us with our attachment to the body. So if the attachment to the body, if the body has proven itself that it is never going to become pure, then your attachment to the body has gone. And if that attachment has gone, that impurity has also gone from inside, from our subtle body. That attachment has also gone. Because the reason that we are impure is due to this attachment. Is due to this attachment. So if inside that attachment is broken, then your body naturally is pure then. It is only due to the attachment that it is impure. If that attachment has gone inside, then the body you become pure. Or in other words, at that time, your attachment means identification with the body. Is it not? Identification means feeling a sense of identity with the body. Bodily identity, bodily identification. If that is gone, then yogis are saying that this bad smell that comes from the body, that will also go away. That will also go away. It's only due to that. They are saying, the yogi's conclusion is, those who are advanced in the yoga process, Ashtanga Yogam, they are saying to us that if the ego has gone, identification has gone from inside, then the smell, foul smell that comes from this body will also go. So that is why Krishna is giving importance to this shaucham. Now you can see why shaucham is necessary. It is for this purpose shaucham is spoken here. Devadvija Guru Prajna Pujanam, Krishna spoke, then shaucham. So this is important. Krishna says, Shariya Tapasya that is. Shariya Tapasya that is. Shaucham, both externally and internally necessary. Now, so far what we have spoken about is the external one. Now, what is the internal one? External and internal, both. Shaucham covers both. But mainly, Krishna has spoken about the internal one. But external one is also important. Not that it has to be written off.
External one, how it helps to purify is like this. Through the shaujam, the way Krishna has spoken. Waiting in the particular way, eating in a particular way. These are external things. But that will purify and finally we'll realize that this body will never become pure. That's enough. You got out of it then. Then if you come to that conclusion that this body is not going to get fixed, it's not going to get it's not going to get better. It's always be like this. If that understanding has come, your attachment to the body has gone then, inside. So that is the external purification. Internal purification is the next one, what Krishna says there. Arjavam. See that word? Devadvija Guru Prajna Pujanam Shaujam. Shaujam is the external, Arjavam is the internal one. Arjavam, Krishna says. Arjava means, you know what Arjava means, isn't it? We have spoken about it before. Avanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, chandi, arjavam. At that time, straightforwardness in life. Straightforwardness. That means not to keep one thing inside and speak something else outside. Keeping one thing inside and speaking something else outside. Shakuni in Mahabharatam gives some advice to Duryodhana about this. The best advisor and the best listener. He says to Duryodhana, what was Duryodhana's problem? Duryodhana's problem was this. Whatever comes to his mind, he will speak. Whatever does come to his mind, he will speak. Shaguni says to him, my dear nephew, he says to Duryodhana, that you know why this language has been developed? Do you know why? He says, you have to keep things within yourself. You have to know how to put things to others. In a diplomatic way. Shaguni is advising to Duryodhana that you have to speak in a diplomatic way with people. Shaguni is advice to Duryodhana. And that is the modern world also, isn't it? So Shaguni says, what is inside you, the people outside should not understand. What's your motive is. And that it is for that purpose, language has been created. Shaguni says to Duryodhana. Language has been created for this purpose, so that what is inside you, the other person whom you are talking to will not understand what is inside you, what you have got, what your motivations are. It's for that purpose language has been developed, he says. So Ramalinga Swamiji says this, he says, those who keep one thing inside and speaking something else outside, you should never associate with such people. You should never associate. Because you will never be able to understand them, what they have inside. They will say one thing, they will do something else, and they will think something different. All the three different things. They will think something different, they will say something, and they will do something else. So all the three will be different. If you ask them, where are you going? I'm going to the eastern direction, they will say. And if you look at them, they'll be walking towards the west. And in reality, they want to go to the north. This kind of people. They're going towards the east, and actually they say they want to go to the west. But they'll be going to the west. And in reality, they'll be going to the north. So you can't say anything to them, people who are like that. So this is, it is from this word Arjavam, the word Arjuna has come. See, Arjuna got this name because of this quality in him, Arjavam. Truthfulness and straightforwardness. Very straightforward Arjuna is it not? Look at Arjuna. After talking so many things to Krishna in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, that talking about killing about his teachers, family members, and so many other things, Arjuna was very open with Krishna about it, is it not? That I do not approve any of these things, and all these things are, in my point of view, Arjuna says to Krishna, it's not proper to fight with them, to kill them and all other things. But after hearing Bhagavad Gita and hearing Krishna's instructions, immediately Arjuna was willing to accept that and able to say to Krishna, my ignorance is gone. That is the truthfulness in him. He didn't act diplomatically. He was straightforward with Krishna about it, isn't it? So, that straightforwardness is called Hrijabuddhi. Hrijabuddhi means this straightforwardness. Speaking things truthfully to others. If you do that, the advantage is there won't be any conflict inside. There won't be any conflict inside. Therefore, it should be spoken in that way. So, otherwise what will happen is, if you do not develop this straightforwardness, inside your mind, there will be so many departments. You will create your own departments inside, a huge file cabinet there, where you will be hiding everything. You will be speaking something and you have to have a... you have to keep that a hard copy inside for everything. Because you are telling things which is not approved by your own Antaryami inside. So you will say something outside and then you have to remember that I have spoken like this to others. Next time when you speak, you have to keep that in mind so that it doesn't conflict with the what you have spoken before. In this way, it becomes a crisis inside. So Krishna is saying here, their hearts are always very transparent. Heart is very clean and open. That's why it's called Arjavam. Arjavam, the word. So, you will know this after you have got to know some people. Very easily you will know their this nature. And in that situation, even if you get upset or if you say something about it, people won't misunderstand about this. Because inside one, talking something else different outside. And that is a great quality to know that, that somebody has that nature. So it is for this reason that Durvasav gets upset many times in the Puranams, isn't it? How many times Durvasav got upset? But nobody gets upset with Durvasav. Have you noticed that? Durvasav gets upset with so many people, but nobody gets upset with Durvasav. Because they know Durvasav, he will get angry and he will speak out things in the way he wants it. So, but buddhi is rajabuddhi, arjavam, that's straightforwardness. In other words, there is no block inside, no blocks inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. And that is a great quality, Krishna says, great quality. And that arjavam, straightforwardness, is a tapas. Krishna says it is a tapas. And then you may ask a question, if this arjavam, tapas, is nothing to related with the body, it should be related to the mind, isn't it? But, so, the reason why it's spoken here is that, because normally it should have come back into the next words, which comes about, because Krishna is going to talk about the austerity from the body, from the mind, from the words. Three things separately, three verses. But you would have expected that Arjavam is spoken with the mind, but Krishna has spoken here inside. The reason for that is, when we have Arjavam, when we don't have Arjavam, then it is possible that we may engage in our activities in such a way that we may cheat people or we may steal things where body is involved. Body will get involved in all those things, isn't it? And that is the reason why it is spoken here. Because many of the things, what the mind is planning, eventually it's carried out by the body. Isn't it? Body does the whole thing. So therefore here Krishna says here, all the movement of the body should be in tune. Should be in tune. Because when the mind is peaceful and properly have this quality of Arjavam in the mind, even the body will become straightforward. Body will become Raju. Body will become Raju. So just like you can see, that even in the while discussing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, if that part is interesting for you to listen to, then you will stay straightforward, you will sit very steady. You will sit and listen to it, isn't it? And when you are fresh or when you feel it's affected by the what's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, or you are feeling that happiness inside, and that makes the body straight. You will see people sitting straight and listening to it. And if there is some part in the Bhagavatam which is not much of interest to us, or you are getting not very enthused by it, then you will just sit like this in a very depressed mood. So, or if you have gone to your office and worked there and spent many hours outside, and then if you come and sit down, then if your mind is not listening to the Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita, whatever it is. So then you'll start looking here and there. And sometimes you look towards the back also. you can see at that point that the mind, when it is in Shanti state, if the mind is in Shanti state, in a natural way, body will become straight. Arjavam. That straightness in the body will come. Otherwise, if the mind is all in a complicated state, your sitting also will be in the same way. So how connected they are, body and the mind. What's happening in the mind will always decide the presence of the status of the body, how the body remains, how the body remains. So shaujam arjavam. Then next one Krishna is talking about is brahmacharyam, isn't it? Next one is brahmacharyam. So brahmacharyam. What is brahmacharyam means? Brahmacharyam means that in general terms, those who are not married, we say they are brahmacharis. We will say like that, isn't it? In brahmacharyam, normally, it is in three levels. Bodily level, then through the words, what we speak, and in the mind. Sharirigam, vachigam, and manasigam. In the mind, in the words, and in the body, isn't it? But it should have spoken about the manasigam. That is the most important thing. But Krishna has spoken that with the body, sharirigam, isn't it? Why has he spoken like that? Because manasigam is, brahmacharyam is, that brahmacharyam where mind is fixed in Brahman, in the truth. Mind is fixed in the Brahman, he is brahmachari, isn't it? Brahmaiva charidi brahmachari. So, if your mind is absorbed in Brahman, in the absolute truth, he is called brahmachari. So, brahmani manasaha charam brahmacharyam param smritam. Upanishad says, brahmani manasaha charam brahmacharyam param smritam. Here, what Krishna is talking about is, Krishna is saying here, those who haven't got married, for the sake of those who are advancing, for the sake of self-realization, in order to realize the truth, and studying the Vedam, going to the Vaidika Patashala, or where the Vedam is taught, and living there, and studying Vedam in that way. Normally, nowadays we say, we have courses for the brahmacharis, isn't it? Brahmacharis courses, we say. So many missions, you know, they all do this. Brahmachari courses. And temporarily they will teach them sometimes some things like Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, studying all these things. It's considered to be brahmacharyam. And studying all these shastram, actually it helps to purify the mind. Which one? Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Puranams, all these things helps to purify the mind. But there are certain rules attached to the body as well. To always remain simple. That is one thing. To engage in tapas, austerities. And keeping that anushtanam in life, in daily life. A fixed, a steady way of living. That steadiness in life. Anushtanam it is called. Or performing, living in a particular way, in a disciplined life. That anushtanam it is called. That includes waking up early in the morning, bathing, and engaging in spiritual activities in a particular fixed way every day. And this is brahmacharyam. This is brahmacharyam. And such a person is brahmachari. Sometimes people say, who is brahmachari? Brahmachari is that person, one Siddha used to say, one who is slanting on the Brahman. His body is resting on the Brahman. He is brahmachari. He used to say like that. So main principle is that if they are boys, not to have association with the girls. And if it is girls, not to have association with the boys. If these two things are followed, That is Brahmacharyam. That's Brahmacharyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a disciple in one instance. It's a very interesting pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In one instance, he was a great devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee he was. And one day, Mahaprabhu saw this. One young girl came and touched his feet, this devotee's feet, and paid her obeisances to him. Paid obeisances to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave up his connection with this disciple. He says, so that devotee said, this disciple said, she is a good girl, and Mahaprabhu said, that's all right, but water is pure. Earth is also pure. But if earth mixes with water, it becomes mud. This was Mahaprabhu's answer. Water is pure. Earth is also pure. But if water mixes with the earth, it becomes mud. It becomes mud. So at that time, this person said that this devotee said to Mahaprabhu that if you give up your association with me, if you abandon me, I'll give up my body, he said. Mahaprabhu was very soft-hearted person, pure devotee also. In spite of that, he said, no, I have given up your association, he said. He was so strict about that. And he went and jumped into the ocean and killed himself. Killed himself, gave up his body. So this one incident, which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamritam also, is very big incident in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. And everybody later on got a shock when this happened. They came up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him what has happened, that this person has gone and given up his body in the ocean. And how could you allow this to happen? Everybody took it in the opposite way. Everybody who was present there took it in the wrong way. Mahaprabhu says, that's the best thing I wanted to happen. What a harsh thought it is, isn't it? You would have thought like that. Such a cruel way to speak about someone who has gone and jumped into the ocean and killed himself. It is not cruelty, because Mahaprabhu gave importance to these particular qualifications. He gave importance to that because he, as far as he is concerned, if you allow this to continue, that will destroy the spiritual life of so many other people. Rather, I will sacrifice this person and uphold that principle. That is the way Mahaprabhu looks at it. You see? So you can see from the great personalities only you will learn these things. They can be as tough as they want. When this disciple gave up this body, it's a many, many times this story, when it's read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, even devotees thought it was such a heavy punishment to somebody like that. And therefore, but the reason what we have to understand is this, that Mahaprabhu felt that by even if he has to give up his body, let me not dilute the Vedic injunction or what the rishis have given the instruction. That is that strength of conviction of the Shastram. Is it not? Because if they themselves start breaking the law, what will happen with the ordinary people? They'll break, everybody will break everything, isn't it? So, nowadays you can't say these things to anybody. The world is like that, is it not? If you mention this to others, they will think you have gone crazy. Because it's better not to discuss it. Pumsastriya maithuni bhavamanyam tayor mito hridaya grandhi maho ato grahakshetra sutapta vitter janasya mohoyam aham ameti. Rishabhadev says in the 5th canto, isn't it? So, he says here, that is that maithuni bhavam. If a girl looks at the boy's movement, everything, if you observe, you will change. It will change. Similarly, if a boy looks at the girl, and the girl's movement also, you will see all changing. In the Rishabhadev says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, pumsastriya maithuni bhavamanyam tayor mito hridaya grandhi maho ato griha kshetra suta apta vittayar janasya mohoyam aham ameti. Krishna says. So this Hriday Grandhi, what he is talking about, is there both in the boy as well as in the girl. And you cannot never remain in a natural way. So this nowadays in the world, what among the young generation also, it is spoken like this. So it has to be natural. Everything should be natural, say. They say like that, isn't it? So what Rishabhadev is saying to us, you can never stay natural. Naturally, staying natural, this argument of being natural has no meaning, he says. People will say, I am behaving in a very natural way, they say. So, okay, you are behaving in a natural way, but there is a thing called prakriti there, material nature. And therefore, therefore, all these things, those who are in the spiritual path, for them these things are important. And therefore this separation between boys and the girls. So, in other words, to remain always in the path of dharma. So, it is not that they are not allowed to speak to each other, but only if there is a genuine purpose. There is something to be spoken, something important related to life in this world, that is allowed. Yavadartham vyavahare. For vyavaharam purpose, it is allowed to talk to each other. And otherwise, as a mother or a sister, in that way, it is acceptable. But never to go against the rules of dharma. So that is instructions to the brahmacharis, isn't it? So you can see this in the Bhagavatam also. After Ramachandra married Sita Devi and later life, Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana and went away. And Ramachandra was wandering around crying for Sita Devi, isn't it? So what was the commentary from Sukadeva Goswami? Sukadeva Goswami says there, if you get attached, this is what will happen. Whether it doesn't matter, whether it's Ramachandra or anybody else, he says like that. So, so wherever, in the same way, opposite way also, if attachment to the man, the women have to suffer, if you develop attachment in that way. And now look at Ramachandra. He's wandering around crying for Sita, 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 asking for Sita. Where is Sita? Where is Sita? Look at his situation, says Subramarshi in the Bhagavatam. He says there that Sri Sanginam Gatimidi Pratayam Chachara. This is the Sri Sanginam, those who are attached to women, their fate, Gatimidi Pratayam Chachara, that they will wander around like this in this world crying. So, if you look into the Bhagavatam, that in the same thing, Shukha Brahmarshi mentions there, that the, if you look into the ninth canto, he says, in the 11th chapter, 17th verse, he says, Stripum prasanga etadrak. Sarvatra trasamavaha api ishwaranam kimuda gramyasya grihachetasa. Shukha Brahmarshi is advised to us. Very important advice. He is saying, Stri pum prasangam etadrak sarvatra trasamavaha api ishwaranam kimuda gramyasya grihachetasa. 9, 11, 17. That's our verse. He says, women who are always talking about men, and men who are always talking about women, their association, sarvatra trasamavaha, always must be given up. Why? Abhi ishwaranam kimuta. If it can happen to Ishwara, to Ramachandra this, gramyasya grihajayadasa, what about us who are living in our family life attached to each other? What will happen to you, Lord? He's saying. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to us. Sita Devi, if it can happen to Ramachandra like that, what will happen to us who are living at home, gramyasya grihachedasa, and not only living so attached to that life also, in the family life, isn't it? He is giving a strong warning there to all of us who are the householders. He is saying to us, abhi stri pum prasangam edadrik sarvatra trasamavaha abhi ishwaranam kimuda gramyasya grihachedasa. Gramyasya, Grahachetasa. And in the last chapter, he mentions there,
the one before that, in the he also said at that time about Ramachandra. He said that Sri Sanginam Gadimiti Pathayam Chachara Rakshodhamina Vrgavad Bibine Asamaksham Vaideharaja Duhidaya Pitayam Bratravani Kripadaval Priyaya Vyuktaha Sri Sanginam Gadimiti Pathayam Chachara. That verse. That is the 11th verse in the tenth chapter, 11th verse, 9th canto. Rakshodhamena Vrgaval Vipene Asamaksham Vaideha Raja Druhida Duhida Trubaya Rivadaya Pitayam Bratravani Kripanaval Priyaya Viyukta Sri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradhayam Chachara. Sri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradhayam Chachara, he says. This is the fate of anyone who gets attached to opposite side. Man to woman or woman to the man. A strong warning there. In both the Ramachandra's whole Ramayanam, Shukabrahmashri summarized in two chapters. Two chapters in the Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear from Shukabrahmashri how he is going to speak about Ramayanam. Parikshit has heard Ramayana many times before from Markandeya. In the palace, Markandeya Maharshi used to recite Ramayanam and explain Ramayanam to them. From Markandeya Maharshi he has heard. So, Shukabrahmashri, when the story of Ramachandra came, he told Parikshit that you have already know Ramayanam very well. Parikshit says to him, I want to hear from you, how you want to say, what you have to say about Ramayanam. And this is what Shukabrahmashri had to say about Ramachandra. Sri Sanginam Gadimidi Prathayam Chachara. That if attachment develops inside, you have to pay the price for it, he says. It doesn't matter even if it's Ramachandra. He says you will suffer. Of course, Ramachandra's life was a teaching to us. Ramachandra doesn't suffer. Matyavadarasya Marteshanam. Later on, Shukabrahmashri himself says this about Ramachandra. That his appearance as Ramachandra in this world is only for teaching us. That this is what will happen to us. So, Matyavadarasya Marteshikshanam, in the fifth canto, he mentions about Ramachandra in that way. So, from that you can understand that Ramachandra's life in this world was only an instruction for us. Not that Ramachandra suffered from this. But, so the rule is like this, that even if they come in the Ishvara, Supreme Personality comes here, he has to suffer if there is attachment inside. If it is like that, what about ordinary people like us? That's the question. So, practical wisdom, that's what is shown in the Bhagavatam. So, when we talk about Brahmacharyam, it applies to everybody. Whether you are grown up or you are young, doesn't matter, young boy or a girl, or a grown up woman or a grown up man, men, women, girls, boys, all of them, that these rules apply. These rules apply. Because if you do not stay within the framework of dharmam, within the framework of dharmam, even if you are a very, very good person, it is possible that you can get eventually destroyed. Eventually destroyed. And that is not your fault. It is the fault of the prakriti. It's the fault of the prakriti. Everybody is good in this world, but prakriti is not letting you go like that. Prakriti has got its own problems. Therefore, the rishis have shown us a way to live like this in such a way that prakriti cannot disturb your life in that way. So whatever they have spoken as dharmam, if we follow that, we should not break away from that. That is why rishis have told us, maintain brahmacharyam up to a certain age. And if you stay within that, then the path what the rishis have shown to us, you should not break that fence and go to the other side, then it will cause problems. That is what Brahmacharyam is talking about. Now, while talking about Brahmacharyam, we also have to talk about marriage then, isn't it? Why marriage then? Marriage is nothing but a protection in life. Nothing but a protection in life. That is a tapasya. Krishna considers that as a tapasya. That's why householders are not completely written off. Just because you have become a householder, it is not written off. Otherwise, it would not have been included as a ashramam in the Varnashrama Dharma. It is respected and accepted there also.
Krishna is saying that that is also brahmacharyam. That is also brahmacharyam. Because the idea is that in the Arsha samskaram or Vaidika samskaram, it is considered to be a brahmacharyam because a man and a woman are agreeing each other to remain within the framework of dharmam and to remain mutually faithful and keep connected in that way. In other words, what is the man praying to Krishna? The man's prayer to Krishna is that the wife I have got, let that be such a person who will elevate me, take me out of this material existence. This is the prayer from the man's side. The prayer from the man that is to Krishna is, the wife I have, let her help me to escape from this material existence. Very, very, very noble prayers, is it not? Very, very noble prayers. And let me have a wife in that way. Let me have a wife in that way. A wife who will allow me to escape from this samsara. Samsara means material existence. And let me have a wife in that way. And the wife also, in the same way, looking at the husband with the same respect, as though Krishna himself is present, Ishvara Bhava, in her, is also necessary. So if both of them cooperate in like that, and mutually respect each other in that way, with that divine understanding, and only in that relationship, it will remain proper. It will remain proper. That is supposed to be the relationship between the husband and the wife, only on the spiritual platform. So you can see this, how much it is present in the world today. That understanding has completely gone away, is it not? Nowadays, most of the boys, girls, what they are exposed to is their misfortune. That in India it is the Bollywood movies, isn't it? Bollywood movies, they think, oh, this is married life. All the famous film actors and their and whomever the hero and the heroine, they get all the singing, dancing. Oh, then everybody is thinking that this is what is all married life about, isn't it? So, and then running around a tree singing the song, is it not? And when they see that, oh, how quickly the boys and girls gets into this illusion in that, at that age in life, isn't it? So, it's most a childish thing that is, this marriages happen in that way, isn't it? And this is what Bollywood has done to the society. So, if you start thinking that's way, like life is, like that, this Swami Dayananda Saraswati, he used to say this in one lecture, I heard him saying this, he said, that if you say, ask this question, that in all throughout the history, life was like this, marriage was like this. In one talk he says, in every cinema, he says, Bollywood cinema that's come about, it's not Bollywood now, it's Hollywood, Chollywood, everywhere it's the same thing. So he says like that, there is a hero, and there is a heroine, and there is a tree. He says, you need only these three things in life, he says, to get married. A boy and a girl, a hero and a heroine, and a tree to run around that. We thinking that this is life, isn't it? So how long, he says, like that. Because all these things are very, very temporary. That is why in Shastram, when they talk about married life, they will always present to us Parvati and Parameshwara, Shiva and Parvati, that relationship. Lakshmi and Narayana, that relationship, isn't it? Because they gave such a divinity to that relationship between Lakshmi and Narayana, Shivarvadi and Parameshwara, like that, Shiva, like that. Instead of cinema has given that same thing they have taken and put them into, who is that? The actors and the actresses. They put them in their position. Vedam is telling us that this is how it should be. Shivarvadi and Shiva, that relationship. Sadi Devi and Shiva. And similarly, Lakshmi and Narayana, that relationship. Instead, it is completely replaced now with all the heroes and the heroines, their relationship. You see a particular movie with a hero and heroine, we think that that's the way it should be, the married life, in that way. So, that divinity, what was there in the marriage, has completely gone. So, marriage is a tapasya. Krishna is saying that marriage is a tapasya. It is a big tapasya because actually what's happening is you are transcending the prakriti, material nature, isn't it? It is not a natural thing but a conscious austerity that is. Conscious austerity. Natural means what? Natural means man and woman wandering around like animals, isn't it? That is natural. Animals are natural in that sense, isn't it? If you remain natural, you won't transcend the prakriti, material nature. You won't transcend the material nature. We keep saying important everything is so natural, natural, we keep saying. We give importance to this thing called natural, isn't it? And we think that natural is important. But natural is only for the animals. Natural is only for the animals. Animals don't have to transcend the material nature. We have to transcend the material nature. We want to cross over the prakriti, isn't it? Maya, in other words. Animals don't have to cross over Maya. We have to cross over Maya. So to keep saying that natural is a wrong thing. Natural is a wrong thing. So when it is like that, if you think that everything is natural, our behavior also, if you say it's natural like that, man and woman getting attracted, boys talking to, mixing freely with the girls, or men mixing with the women, if it is all natural, then you won't be able to transcend prakriti. You will not transcend prakriti. The purpose is that we want to transcend the prakriti. So this argument, natural, natural, has no standing. This is what we have to understand. Often you will see this, especially in the West, when you talk to many people, they will think it is something seriously wrong with you, that all these kind of rules, why is it in the society like this? It's a natural thing, that'll be their argument first, isn't it? But if it is natural, it's like the animals, because animals live a natural life. And we also live like animals and it's natural. But we are not meant for that, is it not? We want to transcend the prakriti. We know that there is a thing called prakriti. Animals don't know that. We know there is a thing called prakriti. We know what prakriti means, Maya. And we want to cross over Maya. Cross over Maya. So therefore, rishis have spoken in this way. Necessity to maintain this brahmacharyam or garhasya ashramam with this underlying principle of not freely mixing each other. That's why it is spoken like that. For example, sleeping is natural. But samadhi state is not natural. Is it not? Sleeping is natural, but samadhi state is not natural. It is conscious. Only through that is the difference between sleeping and samadhi, isn't it? In samadhi state also, externally when you look at a person, he is like in the sleeping stage. But what is the difference? In samadhi state, you are conscious of your awareness, existence. Whereas in sleep, you are not. Is it not? So in a similar way, animals are natural. If you say you are also naturally, I am living in a natural way. That is the argument you always hear from people. If they are telling you that I am living a natural life, what's wrong with it? That it's natural that man will talk to women, women will talk to men, boys will talk to girls, girls will talk to boys. It's a natural thing, is it not? Why should I come in the middle of that? And if that argument if you hold, then that means that you have no spiritual goal in life. You are still behaving like the stage of the animals. You have not come out of it. That is natural. But rishis are telling us, if you want to transcend the prakriti, transcend the material nature, transcend maya, then this is the process. That's for their, from their own realizations, they have given us this. Famous personalities, even rishis if you look, Atri and Anasuya. Isn't it? Atri and Anasuya. The famous rishi couple they were. Both of them transcended. Vasishtha and Arundhati. Same relationship between them. All of them shown us that even as householders, how to live in this world. How not to break that law of what they have laid out. They will not break that law. That is their position. So, Krishna is saying here also the same thing. This consciously purifying ourselves in that way. So, rishis are saying that this is the process for that and it was not brought by anybody else. It is a rishi's injunctions, isn't it? So it is a secret which has been revealed to us by the Veda from time immemorial. They have revealed this to us. We have thrown this away, whole thing, because of our uncontrolled senses and the mind. And we have accepted this as acceptable now, is it not? This way of life, like brahmachari life and other things, has been completely ignored, and it has turned out to be a catastrophe in many, many ways. So even after, so it is a secret method what has been given to us by the Vedam, to live in a particular way so that it does not damage our spiritual life. So after getting married, even in the married life, maintaining that brahmacharyam there. So marriage is between a man and a woman, it is meant for maintaining certain discipline, control on it. So protecting each other. For a woman, man is a protection, and for a man, woman is a protection in that way. So if they live in that way, both of them can go up, elevate themselves, isn't it? Otherwise, both of them can pull together down each other. Together down, they can pull down each other. So one person is trying to go up, the other person will pull him down. Or if the other person is going up, this person will pull her down. So either way it can happen. It should not happen like that. That's why husband and the wife has to cooperate in spiritual life. Otherwise it's very, very difficult, isn't it? So making that is the principle in the Vedic philosophy. So many thousands and thousands of years, Arsha Samskaram, Vaidika Samskaram, followed this principle very seriously. How long it will last now, we don't know, because at least this concept must be there in the society. So that is why during the marriage, in front of the Agni Sakshi, in the front of the fire, that this is to give that divinity of concept to all, that divinity should be in the mind. That is why this marriages is performed in the front of the fire, to give that the recognition of that divinity for that marriage. This is why it's performed. Not that it is done in the registrar's office. So that's not enough, this marriage. Prabhupada also insisted that when devotees got married, he said that it's not good enough you get married in a registration office. There must be a fire sacrifice, and in front of the fire you have to take the vows for this reason. So in the olden days, the marriage happened in a much early age, isn't it? Much early life. So you know these people who are called reformers, who reformed the society. The reformers are saying that they are saying that is too early to get married at such an early age in life. People, Prabhupada was mentioning that at the age of 12, 14, they were married. Girls were married at 6, 8, 9 years old. They were married, isn't it? So what reformers are saying, they are all useless. They have no got a clue what they are doing, is saying. And they condemned this marriage, childhood marriage. Mahatma Gandhi was married very, very early life, isn't it? So, and find fault with them. And they are saying, you have to understand the shastram behind it, why it was done like that. When you understand the principle behind it, that is the modern society, because it hasn't got any clue about the spiritual values and the spiritual goals in life, and how the rishis formulated the life to support that spiritual goal. Everything to support self-realization. Everything finally to get released from this material life. This is how it was designed and structured. But modern world hasn't got a clue about anything. And they are looking at all the arrangements what they had in the past and say, oh, this is all, what do they call it, out of ignorance, that society. And government is deciding marriage age for you. They will decide. Like recently I read that the government will tell you when you will die. Recently there was a statement. That minister is standing and making a statement.
he will give you print out, computer print out, saying that what, when you will die, based on your habits. That's all they understand. Nothing else that gets into this. These are the big men. You may have read this news in the recently. Our government will tell you when you're going to die. This is the greatest joke you have heard in this life. So, so similarly, Krishna is saying here that that childhood marriage, what was arranged at that time, even though they may have been friends before, boys and girls, even at small age, 6, 7, 8 years old, before they knew they are man and woman, even before they knew that they are man and woman, there will be an attachment between them, will happen, isn't it? So that love between those little boys and girls, they are not loving each other by seeing the beauty of the other person. Whereas when we grow up, then when we are looking at man and woman looking at each other, is looking at the bodily beauty, and then it's a different kind of relationship. Whereas when they were little, 5, 6 years old, when they are looking at each other, they are not looking at the, because the man, identity of man and woman has not happened yet then. So they are looking at each other and they play together so many things. But that happiness is not based on the nose, how it looks, or the eyes, how it looks, or the hair, what the other person has got, or the color of the skin. Those things are not, doesn't matter. So that love between the boy and the girl is without any reason behind it. It's not without any reason behind it. That there is a relationship between that boy and the girl, little boys and the girls. It's not based on any bodily identity, bodily beauty, in other words, isn't it? So there is a love without any cause behind it, and they will join together and play together, isn't it? And after that, once that has happened between them, then later on they become husband and wife. When they get married, isn't it? So when that happens, the pure love they had before, without the body getting involved in that, that relationship won't go away easily from them. This was the psychology behind it is. When they were small, they had a loving relationship, but that was not based on the body. But when they grow, and they got married at that age, but even after they got married, but previous relationship what they had with the boy and the girl, that won't disappear very easily from them. Actually, we don't even know the meaning of this word called love today, isn't it? So this helps in grihasthashramam, in householder life. It helps that these tapasis there, austerity is there, and therefore certain rules are spoken in that way. Naturally, when they get married, they will not be looking into the bodily beauty at that time, if there was already a relationship like that between the boy and the girl. This was the idea behind it. See that, how rishis, how thought, how clever they were. The idea is, we want to come out of this attachment and attraction to the body, each other, isn't it? It's an animalistic propensity in us to look at the other body and get attracted to it, whether man or woman, it doesn't matter. So, to escape from that, the rishis have found out that if they were married before they got married, at a much earlier life, if they had a relationship between the boy and the girl, and if you get them married, that previous relationship won't change straight away, and bodily attraction will be much lesser than when you got them married at a much later date. This they have found out. They know this science behind that, and therefore that system was followed for thousands of years without any. This is, we have to only understand these things. Why it was, the reason I'm saying this is not to criticize what Shastram has spoken and what the rishis have laid out. Only for that reason. Not that it will happen to us all in life now. It's not going to happen here, it's not going to happen in the society either. That you can't do anything about it. But at least not to be disrespectful to what the rishis have created. Their understanding of life, of psychology and the human nature is much more deeper level and much more beneficial to our own spiritual advancement. That is how they have created the society. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here that this brahmacharyam, that we may say that it is only for the brahmachari. What has to do with the householder? You may ask that question. So, Krishna also, he says, personality you have to remember who is saying all these things is in the Vishnu Sahasranamam, he is called as Anadi Brahmachari. Krishna is the eternal brahmachari. Eternal brahmachari is Krishna. And Krishna is saying all these things. And that personality, and who has married 16,108 wives, he is speaking about brahmacharyam. And he is saying about brahmacharyam to Arjuna. He is giving instructions. Anadi brahmachari cha, says in the Tausava. Anadi brahmachari Krishna. In the Mahabharata war, what happened was, Arjuna's head was gone. I don't know, it was Bhishma or somebody. His head was gone missing. And then everyone was in the battlefield, everyone was in anxiety. So there was a voice there, if there is a brahmachari who can come to the spot and say he is a brahmachari, then this will, his head will come back from Patala Lokam. The head has gone to Patala. Apparently the head went all the way to Patala. So when Krishna came up and said, I am that brahmachari, he said. And that is how Krishna is addressed as Anadi Brahmachari. Anadi Brahmachari. It is not based on marriage alone it is decided. Krishna has married 16,108 wives. From each wife he had 10 boys and a girl. In spite of all, so imagine such a huge family Krishna had. But in spite of all that, he is considered to be Anadi Brahmachari. Anadi Brahmachari. So Krishna says, I am that Brahmachari. Arjuna's head came rolling back and came back to its place, it seems. Mahabharata says like this. So here Krishna is saying that Devadvija Guru Pratnya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam. Then the next one is Ahimsa. Krishna says Ahimsa cha Shairiram Tapa Uchade. Ahimsa means not to hurt anybody in any way. So a person who is completely established in the Ahimsa, he will try to be friendly even with whom he has got some ill feeling or who is upset inside with somebody. But still, outwardly, he will behave with that person in a nice way. So, the way they present that in the Shastram is, even a lion and a rabbit, they will be peaceful, together they will stay in the association of a sage who is established in Ahimsa. If the sage is established in Ahimsa, even a lion and a rabbit, who naturally lion will eat the rabbit, isn't it? Or rabbit is so frightened about the lion. But even they will stay together in a friendly mood in the assembly of or in the association of a great sage, of a great sage who is fixed in the Ahimsa. Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutram, he talks about these things, isn't it? One who does not have hate towards others, and one who does not have himsa, violence towards others. And if you have hated somebody, that means you have already become violent. Once any thought wave has developed inside of hate, that means you have already developed violence inside. Or Patanjali says, if you have become envious of someone, then you have already become violent. Do that. And this is the Yoga Sutram, they call it as vritti, chittavritti. These are chittavrittis, how it happens. We talk about chittavritti all the time, isn't it? Chittavritti is like this. If you developed enmity towards anybody, already you have a thought wave of himsa or violence has happened inside. Or if you develop any envy towards anyone, immediately a thought wave of himsa or violence has developed inside. So only when the mind becomes free from these emotions, envy, anger, these things, only then it becomes non-violent. That's the way Patanjali puts it. Patanjali's statement about ahimsa. Brahmacharyam ahimsa cha shariram tapa uchyate. So ahimsa is not only not killing other animals. If we have these emotions inside of envy, anger, and lust, greed, all other things, if it develops inside, a chittavritti develops from that, and then that means it is violence. That means it is violence. Mahatma Gandhi discussed a lot about ahimsa, is it not? So, and he did a lot of research as well about that. And in the, my experiments with truth, he says there, what he means by ahimsa, non-violence, he says there. Finally, he says, ahimsa means self-realization, he says. Ahimsa means self-realizations. Ahimsa means self-realization. Nahyasti atman atmanam tatoyadi parangadi. When you realize the self, then you are not giving himsa, violence toward anybody else. That's the way it is. Till the point you realize your own self, who you are, or self-realization happens, only at that point you are not anymore violent. Up to that point, chitavrittis are coming, thought waves are coming, and violence is going on inside. So, because once you realize the self, you're not giving any more violence to yourself, so you're not being violent to anybody else. Shariram tapa uchyade, Krishna is saying there. Shariram tapa uchyade. So, if we join ahimsa also towards this, it has become shaririga tapas, or what Krishna calls it, sharira tapa uchyade. So, whatever we can do with our body, whatever we can do to purify this body, all that is, Krishna says, is shaririga tapas. Deva dvija guru prajna, pujanam shaujam arjavam, brahmacharyam ahimsacha, shariram tapam uchyate. So, all rituals, what we do is all sharirika tapasya, isn't it? For example, in the temples, you circumambulate the temple, pradakshinam or parikramam, and that is a sharirika tapasya. Padayatra, when it is done, that is sharirika tapasya. And while walking, you are chanting and walking around, that is sharirika tapasya. And while chanting the holy name, people dance, isn't it? In Kirtanam, they dance also. That is shaririga tapasya. So, whatever we can do with this body for pleasing Krishna, that is all shaririga tapasya. That's all shaririga tapasya. So, morning to evening, late in the night, before you go to bed, to make the whole bodily activities as shaririga tapasya. That is what is expected from that. Kanchit Kala Umamaheshwari Bhavada. In the Shivanandala Hari Ajarya Swamiji mentions this, that from morning to night, chanting, deity worship, and paying obeisances, circumambulating the deity, salsangam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Swadhyayam, Bhagavad Gita, in this way, keeping the whole day busy, engaged in something or the other, is Shaririga Tapasya. Is Shaririga Tapasya. So, so, those who are able to do that, Ajari Swamiji says, they are already liberated, if you are able to do that. In other words, simply making the body and surrendering to the body to Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's satisfaction. So, Ashtanga Yogam also, yamam neyamam asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, samadhi, these 8 things, that is all tapasya, isn't it? So, Ashtanga Yogam talks about namaskaram, paying your obeisances, isn't it? And only if it is done in that way, it is Ashtanga Namaskaram, it is called, only it's complete. Yamam means satyam, ahimsa. Yamam means truthfulness also, ahimsa, indriya nigraham, control of the senses, brahmacharyam, not stealing others' property, others' wealth. All these things are mentioned in the Yoga Sutra. Niyama means tapasya. Niyama includes tapasya. Sandosham, always in a happy state. Shaujam, cleanliness, inside, outside.
Swadhyayam, studying Shastram, all these things. So, so Yamam, Niyamam, it is external and internal as well, and that is important. Niyamam is added on to the Yamam. So, external purification, deity worship, all other anushtanam, all other things what we do, all these things are done by many, many people, both the demons and the devotees. Both do this. Hiranyakashipu did all these things. You will be surprised to hear that, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam also you can see that. Ravana was very perfect and serious about his anushtanam. Baiting in the morning. He was an asura, a rakshasa, but he was still, they did all these things, isn't it? That means baiting, deity worship. Daily he worshipped Shiva. Who? Ravana. Worshipped Shiva. And Ravana was such a great devotee. She was devotee, wasn't it? All is interesting to study Puranams. And you will, sometimes you want to understand what is the psychology behind it, is it not? When we talk about, we are seeing Ravana is a Rashasa, is a demon, this and the other. But you have to look at his other side also. Similarly with Hiranyakashipu. We can't even do what Hiranyakashipu has done, can we? If you read Hiranyakashipu's austerity in the Bhagavatam, we are amazed by his dedication and determination and the commitment and the way he spoke Vedantam to his mother and Hiranyaksha's wife, to Didi Devi as well as to Hiranyaksha's wife. When Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahamurti, Varahamurti killed Hiranyaksha. And then what happened? Then Didi Devi, that is Hiranyaksha's mother and Hiranyaksha's wife, they sat together and they were crying about that. Who gave at that time, who consoled them? Hiranyakashipu consoled them. In the Bhagavatam you can read that. Hiranyakashipu's words, if you read, you start wondering, a person who understands philosophy to this extent, who had this realization, how could he do such things? What he did to Prahlada, is it not? So that is what we have to properly evaluate. Why is it like that? What is the reason behind that? So here, you will see here that all of them did that. Yamam, Niyamam, all these things. Arjuna Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam. If you look in the 11th canto, you will see this. That makes Vedic culture very interesting, spiritual life very interesting, isn't it? If you go to the 11th canto, in the 10th chapter, Krishna is saying there, Yamana Bhishnam, 5th verse, Yamana Bhishnam Seveta, Neyaman Malpara Kvachil, Madabhinyam Gurum Shandam, Upasita Madalpmagam. While talking about, in this in the 10th chapter, why that 10th chapter is a very important chapter in the 11th canto. On the 5th chapter, 5th verse, Krishna is saying, Yaman Abhishnam Seveta, Neyaman Malpara Kvachil, Madabhinyam Gurum Shandam, Upasita Madalpmagam. Very important instructions to Uddhava. He is saying to him, this Yamam, Niyamam, Niyamam may not be possible all the time, everywhere. For example, some place you may not be able to bathe if you are put into a situation like that, isn't it? Or for example, you got sick, very ill. At the old age it is quite common, we get sick and you can't bathe on that day. So if you are not bathed on that day, it's not considered to be a wrong thing. It's not considered to be a wrong thing. What you could do is that, even if you are not bathed, if you put the tilak, either ashes or the tilak, whatever your one is following, one could do that, but follow the other principle. Satyam, Daya, Shandi, Brahmacharyam, Dharma Nishtha. Those things one should not make any concessions on that. They should be followed, other principles. Because external things are sometimes, it can come to a stage in life, you may not be able to bathe anymore in life. A day will come like that. And even if you are not bathed externally, it is okay, it is acceptable. Or, suppose you are doing deity worship regularly, due to your physical incapacity, deity worship may have come to a stop one day. It's definite. You may not be able to do it anymore. Even then it is allowed. That is acceptable. But
As much as possible, if the, due to disease or anything, if it is stopped, if the disease goes away, then we must continue. But if a stage comes in life that body cannot carry it anymore, it can be given up. More important than that, inside that cheating, lying, violence, hate, lust, anger and uncontrolled senses, those problems one should take care of more than anything else. So Krishna is saying here that if you take these two things together, yamam and niyamam, if you employ both and if you use both of them in life, then it is an austerity of the body. Sharirika tapasya. Sharirika tapasya. So yogi, devotees also, they follow these principles what Krishna has spoken there. That yaman abhishnam sevedan yaman malpara kochil madabhityam gurum shandam upasidam adalmagam. That is also an upasana. But this upasana, when Krishna is saying, what you have to remember is that yaman abhishnam seveda neyaman malpara kochil. More important than the following all these things is attachment to Krishna. Attachment to the self, alma, self-realization. Kalyadam mama kurushatavadim. So, after saying this, Krishna is now going to talk about, so far, what he has spoken about the shaririga tapasya. All related to the body. From now on, Krishna is going to talk about vachikam and manasikam. Vachikam means in speech. What is austerity of the speech? That's what Krishna is going to say from now on, from the next verses. From Krishna is going to talk about from the vachikam. So vachikam, when Krishna is saying that three kinds of tapasya, isn't it? Three kinds of tapasya. Kayikam, vachikam, manasikam. Or shariram, vachikam, manasikam. Bodily one, speech and in the mind. Three austerities in three different places, Krishna has saying like that. So far, we have talked about purely based on the body. Where austerities is necessary in the body. In the body. So that is the knowledge Krishna has spoken. And we have to reflect on what Krishna has said and then absorb as much as we could within our own capacity and effort to put it into practice. So when this happens, what sharirika tapasya happens, what will happen is the sinful reactions in relationship with the body, that means sharirika tapasya, what it does is all our sushma vasana inside. In a subtle level, we have sushma vasana. Sushma vasana means one leads to another. For example, say this way Krishna has spoken now. Which one? Sharirigam tapamuchyade. Deva dvija guru prajna pujanam. Shaujam, arjavam. Brahmacharyam, ahimsa. All this is sharirigam. Bodily austerities, isn't it? If it is executed properly, Krishna is saying, in a very natural way, in your subtle body, that sushma vasanas, which are present there, they will get purified. They will get purified. And, vijnanam yatyam tanude, karmani tanude picha, vijnanam deva sarvedi, Taittiriya Upanishad says this. And, all the, in a subtle level, whatever disturbances are in the body, that will go. In a subtle level. We have so many disturbances in the body, in a subtle level, isn't it? And that subtle level disturbances will go if this austerity is performed. Which one? Shaririyam, the tapasya, isn't it? So first thing is the shaririya tapasya is important. We can only say all these things and all of us individually we have to see where it is, we have to, how far we are able to bring it into our own life. That is an individual thing, that nobody can say anything about it, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, the goal of all these things, always while doing that, is realizing the self. Goal is self-realization. That you should never forget. The purpose of all this, what's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, His ultimate goal is self-realization, is it not? So that self-realization, Swarupajnanam, in other words, self-realization, for that this tapas is required. But why it is spoken like that? Why this goal is spoken now? Otherwise, if you do all these austerities, like the way Hiranyakashipu has done, with a different goal. Hiranyakashipu's goal was different, was it not? Ravana's goal was different, or Hiranyaksha's goal was different. If it is done like that, it is not sattvikam. Only if you keep the goal as self-realization, and then if you do all these austerities based on the body, then it is sattvikam. But if you do the same austerities with a different goal, like Hiranyakashipu had, or Ravana had, it is not sattvikam. That is the important point here, Krishna is making here in this situation, isn't it? So, this purpose of this is chittashuddhi. Chittashuddhi means inside purification, and in a natural way, it will be followed by the knowledge of the self. Swarupajnanam will happen to him, and that is the purpose of this. So, all these things, with the background, you have to take it. Not in the, suppose you read all these things and then you are saying that, oh, I'll do all these things, but the ultimate goal is not self-realization, it's something else. Then what? It's not use, it's no use. Then it is rajasam, it's not sattvikam. So, Kavikanta Ganapati asked Ramana Maharshi about this. What is this? What is your definition about tapas? Maharshi says to him that, all the time not allowing the false ego inside to operate, to keep it under control, and never allow that to wake up inside, that is tapasya, he says. That was his definition for that. Because so many crores and crores of lifetimes, we have performed several yoga practices, and we had so many yoga darshanam. Yoga darshanam means that in the Ashtanga Yoga, they call it as the Kundalini. Kundalini rising inside and experience that. Still, no perfection has happened. Kavyakanta Ganapati's life, if you read, you will see this. He was a great yogi, Ashtanga Yogi he was, before he came to the Jnanamargam. And he had, even if there is a whole book about him, Mahatapasvi, that is the title of the book, Mahatapasvi, performed so much tapasya through Ashtanga Yoga. Used to go and bathe in all the holy rivers, sit on the river banks without food, days and days together, engage in dhyanam, yogam, meditation processes like that. Kavyakanta Ganapati, a famous scholar in his time. He was called Kavyakanta Ganapati. There is a whole book about Mahatapasvi. The book itself is called as Mahatapasvi, performing tapasya. So after performing all that tapasya, he still felt imperfection inside. His kundalini has risen inside. Started passing through the sushumna, through the various chakras, what they call it as the rise of the kundalini. He explains all that, all his experiences, what was happening. The body heating up due to the rise of the kundalini inside. So many things he has spoken there. But in spite of all that, he is still feeling a incompleteness inside. No feeling of perfection inside. That is the time when he meet up with Maharshi, Ramana Maharshi. Maharshi says to him that tapasya is like this, he said to him. In all these things, while you were absorbed in this, Ashtanga Yogam also, still there, that ego is there. Aham, aham, I am doing this, I am doing this. Isn't it? If you are able to find out where that thought wave is coming from, aham asmi, aham asmi, that aham aham, ahangaram, where is it rising from? If you get there, and if you inquire there, you will see it's coming from that location of the real I. Where this is the false I, which we call it as our false ego. We call it as false ego, which is the false I. So if you inquire further, of course this is a discussion between a realized soul and another great personality who is equally realized and advanced in all the yoga system. He had over 10,000 disciples, who? This Kavyakanta Ganapati.
When Kavyakanta Ganapati surrendered to Ramana Maharshi, all those 10,000 disciples also surrendered to him, with him. Kavyakanta Ganapati was a famous scholar and a highly learned person in Shastram, Vedam. If you read through that life, and not long ago this happened, we are talking about less than 100 years. And if you read his life, how he passed his time in this world, you can't even dream about that. That's the lifestyle he had. So much austerities and penances. So determined he was in his inquiry for the truth. Where is that strength coming from? Kavyakanta Ganapati, that book itself, it's available, Mahatapasvi, it's called. That book is called Mahatapasvi. The person who wrote about him. Mahatapasvi he was. Not an ordinary tapasvi, Mahatapasvi. So much tapas in life, and not in one place, in all the great, great temples, great, great riverbanks, Gokarnam, Badrinath, everywhere he go, so much austerities and so much penances. Never concerned about food or prasadam or his place to sleep, nothing. Never once thought about all this problem in his life. Can you imagine a life like that? We are 24 hours planning our comforts in life, isn't it? When you read his life, you see how he was living in this world completely undisturbed by the world. Never was bothered about where will I have my food. Never was bothered about where I'm going to sleep that night. So much absorbed in the process of inquiry of the truth. And with Ashtanga Yogam, his Kundalini has risen through all the chakras and go right up to the throat. And that is the time when he is meeting Maharshi. That discussion happens between them. By now, because naturally it's quite understandable, when someone is so renounced and so detached and so advanced in the Ashtanga Yogam, naturally there will be so many students also with them, is it not? So they've all come to him, and they were with him observing his unusual strength in that person, determination in him, in spiritual life. We can't even dream about it today. There's such a power in him. And to him, Maharshi says to him, that when you inquire that aham aham still there of the awareness inside, where is that coming from? If you go and find out where it's coming from, and then you will see that is coming from the self, Atma inside. So, ahankaram, where it's coming from, if you inquire, then you will experience that of course, this is the Jnana Margam. It is not possible for us to do this. We don't have the strength and we don't have the discipline for us, in us. But it is good to know that, these things, because in spiritual life is very much diverse, isn't it? Jnanis are very, very few who have realized the truth and who can. When you see everything, instructions, they are very... For all of us, there is only one way. The holy name and bhakti. There is nothing else we can do about it. We have to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, and surrendering to Krishna. That is the only process that will work for us. All other things, we still talk about it because you can see the difficulties of Jnana Margam. And you can also appreciate that the Shastram is not just a hollow thing. It has got a lot of substance behind it. And these rishis, like Kavyakanta Ganapati, Ramana Maharshi and others, they have shown to us that that this science of self-realization is a huge science. And there is so much to know and so much to understand. When we see these great personalities in a naturally within our heart, we feel our own respect for them, for what the path they have tread and shown to us, isn't it? And so Maharshi told him that when you inquire and engage in this self-inquiry, you will see that this it is taking you to that point where the original I is there, real I who is present there. And sometimes you can see also that suppose somebody insults us and speaks to us rudely, or a feeling of insult comes to us, and at that time, if you give attention to that, who is feeling that? That time you can see that it has nothing to do with the self. It's my false ego that's getting hurt. It's not. So when you feel that center where you felt that you hurt, that yogis are saying there, that
in the right side of the body, there is a heart where it is present. Where it is present. So that is where this false ego is present. Not on the left hand side. It's on the right hand side. So if you inquire in those instances, this is the Yoga Margam or Jnana Margam also, both cases. So everywhere, wherever you go in this world, when somebody has offended you or insulted you or spoke harshly to you, immediately you feel insulted or offended. At that time, if you inquire, they are saying that you will see that ego which has hurt you, which has experienced that, and the origin, where it is originated from, that is from the right side. From the right side. That is the origin of the false ego, where it's coming from. So it goes and dissolves there, because nobody can insult Atma. Atma cannot be insulted, can you? You cannot insult an Atma. Somebody is insulting, he's insulting your body. Is it not? Or rudeness. It's all towards the body, nothing to do with the self. Because what he is, that person is seeing is your body, not yourself. So he's insulting the body, and the person who is experiencing it as also the insult is also the ego. Is the ego. So ego is experiencing it, and based on the body, the insult is spoken. Based on the body, the insult is spoken. And the false ego inside is experiencing the insult. Nothing to do with the self. Krishna is saying here that if you inquire about that, Maharshi is saying here that when we keep on saying anywhere in this world, in any part of the world, no matter what language you speak, what culture you are grown up, or what religion you are born, anyone, when he identifies and points about himself, he will put his hand here, on the right hand side. It's a, I have not done it, he will say. Or I have done it, whichever way it is. So, that's an intuition. Without our own knowledge, it is that knowledge inside all of us, isn't it? So, we don't touch our head and say, I have done it. Or don't touch your leg, I have done it. You say, touched here, and say, I have not done it. I am not responsible for that, you will say. Anywhere, you will see this, if even the Prime Minister is speaking in the Parliament, he will take here. We are responsible, you will say. What is happening in another country? We are responsible for that. He will touch his own, that we, I, he pointing out at his own ego, false ego, is present on the right hand side, not on the left hand side. That is the important message. So, so similarly, you can see also, when you have taken a lot of prasadam, and you are sitting down to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, suddenly the head drops like that. Isn't it? The head drops. So, what does it indicate? That the head has lost its strength, because that aham inside, ahangaram, false ego, has gone to rest for a while, and that's why the head has dropped. Not, it is not in the head, it is here. That's why this argument that everything is in the head is not correct. Everything is here. So control point. So similarly, as soon as that ego comes back into life again, head comes up. So the control of the head is from here. We think head controls everything, isn't it? It's not like that. Head is controlled from here. When you sleep, the head drops. And when you get back again, when you come back to awareness again, the head gets up. The head gets up. So head is even controlled from here, in that sense. Isn't it? So, that is what, that is why in the Puranams when they present that, in Vishnu's Shrivalsam is present here. In the Shrivalsam, Kaustubham. So, Krishna's Chaitanyam is present. That is what that it is indicating to us in that way. So, in the Shrivad Bhagavatam also mentions that. So, ideally, Krishna is saying here that when this ego inside us, when it completely gets dissolved and we come into identification with the self as Atma, when the Atma identification comes to that, that is the ultimate goal of tapasya. That is the ultimate goal of tapasya. And that is also known as jnana tapasya. Tapasya in knowledge. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davadmi narvavanam shreyakairava chandriga vivaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipadam punamravasvadanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namnamakari bahudha vija sarva shakti tatrapidani nidasmaravena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi durdaiva medrishamihajani nanuraga tranaravishuni chenam taroravi sahishnuna amanina manavena kirtaniya sadahari madhanam najanam nasundarim kavidam vajagadi shakamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhakti rahai tuvitvai ai mandatanu jakingaram padidamam nishame bhavambudo srubaya tavapadamanga jastitaduli sadrisham chindaya nayanam galala shudharaya vadanam gadgavarubhaya nira pulagayar nichidam kadavabho tavannama grahane bhavishri yugayinam nimeshenam chakshusha pravishayinam shunyayinam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashlishya vapadaradam pinashtumam adarshanam mahadam karotuva yadha tada vavidada dilambado matvananadhastuna evanapara.
Devadvija Guru Pratyam Pratyam Pujanam Shaujamarjavam Brahmajaryam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapa Uchyate. 14:12. So mentioned in the beginning also Upadhi Mandalam. Upadhi Mandalam means Shariram, body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego. In that plane, purifying us. Atma doesn't require any purification. Purification is always for the upadhi, isn't it? So all the tapas is for upadhi. Atma, what does it need? Doesn't need anything completely itself, is it not? Purnatvam. Is perfection is in the Atma. Atma doesn't require any purification. So all this purification, what Krishna is talking about here, is all in the upadhi mandalam, isn't it? Upadhi mandalam means body, mind, ego, intelligence, thoughts, all other subtle body, gross body, everything. All that is upadhi, isn't it? So, when self-realization happens, when the false ego completely disappears, when our identification with the real self is established, that is jnana tapasya. That means austerity of knowledge, knowledge through austerity. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Pudam Malbhava Magada. Where does he say that? In the fourth or fifth, I think, chapter. Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Pudam Malbhava Magada. There is a verse there. Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Pudam Malbhava Magada.
Fourth.
Fourth ten, is it? Yeah. Yes, 4:10. Vidaraga bhaya krodham manmaya mam ubashrida bahavo jnana tapasa pudam madbhava magada. Pudam madbhava magada. So, vidaraga bhaya krodham manmaya mam ubashrida bhavo jnana tapasa pudam madbhava magada. Being freed from attachment,
fear and hunger, anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past, before, became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. See that? Many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. That is jnana tapasya. Knowledge of me is jnana tapasya. What Krishna says? Bhavo jnana tapasya. That is what it is called. Many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, Krishna says. So this jnana tapasya is this, that Krishna says here, that in order to pave the way for that, to drag us into that direction, Krishna says, in the field, in the plane of the body, in the plane of the mind, and in the plane of our words, what we speak, or Ubadhi Mandalam, that is a technical word in the Shastram, is Ubadhi Mandalam. In the Ubadhi Mandalam, Krishna is giving us certain fundamental things in relationship with the Ubadhi Mandalam in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying is, in the Ubadhi Mandalam, those things that will help us and slowly lead us into this situation. Bhavo jnana tapasa putam albhavam agada. To taking us into that, closely to that. Vidaraga bhayakrodha manmayama upashrita bhavo jnana tapasa putam albhavam agada. That is that verse Krishna is referring to, isn't it? Krishna has spoken about that. So, bhavo jnana tapasa putam albhavam agada. So, jnana tapasa will lead into this situation. They become purified and they have reached me, Krishna says. They have reached me. They have reached. In other words, when the Krishna says that they have reached me, it means they have realized the truth. They have realized the truth. It's not what that means that, oh, he has gone back to Vaikuntham or Kailasam or Golokam. That's not in that spirit it is spoken. In other words, what it's saying is that they have executed the spiritual life, they have followed these processes, purified their subtle body and the gross body, everything. And that, and eventually, it has led into jnana tapasya, knowledge of the self, and that has finally led into coming back to me. When we say going back to God, it means realizing the self, truth, who we are, isn't it, at the end. Because, so, atma jnanam, knowledge of the self, it has to lead to. So, that is how Krishna has spoken about this body now. It is in that background, Krishna has spoken all these things. You have to remember that. Not that it is another injunction and commandment to us. Do all these things, do all these things like that. The purpose is more important. What purpose is it? For self-realization. To assist us to realize the truth, it's required to purify our Ubadhi Mandalam. That means body, mind, intelligence and all that. And that purification process is what Krishna has spoken so far. Immediately after that, Krishna moves into the Vachikam. Vachikam means in the speech, what is austerity in the speech. That's the next verse. If you look at it. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. That's it. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyayam abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. Krishna is saying there, austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting the Vedic literature. Reciting the Vedic literature. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam prehidam chayam swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tava uchyade. Anudvegakaram praninam adukhakaram vakyam satyam priyahidam chayam priyahite priyahite drishta adrishtarthe anudvegakaratvadibi dharmehi vakyam visheshyade visheshana dharma samuchayartha cha shabdaha paraprathayanartham prayuktasya vakyasya satyapriyanu anudvegakaratvanam anyadamena dvabhyam tribhihi vahinadasya yadina tad vangmayam tapaha. So this word anudvegakaram, he says here, praninam adukhakaram. That means words that spoken doesn't hurt anyone. does not hurt anyone. That is the meaning of that word, anudvegakaram means. It does not create udvegam. Udvegam means anxiety in somebody's mind. Speaking things in such a way not to create any anxiety or pain to somebody inside heart. So, therefore, the word spoken must be truthful and it should be pleasing to others. Satyam, truth, when it is spoken, we can see the result. But priyahitam, satyam priyahitam, two things he says. Satyam means we can see the result. Priyahitam means we don't know the impact of what we have spoken. Things what you cannot know. Therefore, we have to be careful. Priyahitam. That's why priyahitam mentioned there. It should be satyam, it should be priyam. Both. It should be satyam, it should be priyam. Satyam, because you can see the result, what you are talking about, if you have spoken the satyam, the benefit from that. Priyam means what impact it has got on the other person. That we don't know, isn't it? When you speak something, how it has impacted on the other person. So that's why that also should be taken into account. You should speak the satyam, but also you have to take into account the priyahitam. It should not hurt another person. Because we have spoken something, okay, you have spoken the satyam, but yes, has that hurt him in any way? Being considerate to others, and that is priyahitam. Satyam priyahitam chayat, Krishna is saying there. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. And swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. Krishna is also saying there that when the satyam priyahitam chayat, he says that not creating distress to others, satyam priyam anudvegakaram vakyam, if one does that, it is austerity of in the words. Austerity in the words. So when all these three things combined together is Vangmaya tapasya. Like earlier it was Sharirika tapasya. Here Krishna is saying Anudvegakaram Vakyam, which does not create any anxiety in others. Anudvegakaram, no udvegam, or no causing any distress in others. Then Satyam, truthful, and then Priyahidam. So Anudvegakaram, Satyam, Priyahidam. If all these three things combined together, it is called vachikam, austerity of the mind. Austerity of the words. Sorry, austerity of the words. Vangmaya tapasya. Vangmayam tapa uchyade, Krishna says. Vangmaya means austerity in the words. Austerity through the words. Then, yatha satya vakyasya itaresham anyatamena dvabhyam tribihi vahinadayam na vangmaya tapastvam. Yadha priya vakyasya abhi idaresham anyatamena dvabhyam tribi vahinasya na vangmaya tapastvam. Tatha hita vakyasya abhi idaresham anyatamena vabhyam tribihi va viyuktasya na vangmaya tapastvam. The words that is spoken must be truthful, priyam and hitam. Three things. Satyam, priyam, hitam. Satyam means it should be truthful, it should be priyam, it should be pleasing to the other person, and it should be hitam. That means it should be beneficial to him. Beneficial to him. So, at the same time, anudvega karam. It should not create any anxiety in that person. So, if any of this one is missing, then it is not vangmaya tapasya. If it is missing, if any of these things. Kim puna tata tapa. Then what kind of tapasya that is? Yal satyam vakyam anudvegakaram priyahitam cha yatya tapo vangmayam yatha shando bhava valsaha swadhyayam yogam cha anutishtaha tathate shreyo bhavishyadi swadhyaya abhyasanam cha eva yathavidi vangmayam tapa uchyade. So, when truthfully spoken, when it is spoken truthfully, and if it is anudvegakaram, not causing any anxiety, and if it is priyam, pleasing to the other person, and if it is hitam, if it's beneficial for him, if it all these things are together, then it is austerity of the words. Vangmaya tapasya, Krishna is saying. For example, so you say to someone, be peaceful. You are be in the shanti state, be peaceful. And you study the shastram, swadhyayam. Study the shastram properly. And practice the yoga process.
yogam. And then finally you say to him, it will be auspicious for you. If you do all these things, it is auspicious for you. So, if you have all the first three, that means that being peaceful and studying the shastram and practicing the yoga process, if you do all the three things together, only then the fourth one will come. Is it not? Which means what Krishna says is shreyas. Auspiciousness will come from that. Isn't it? So, vidhi, based on the vidhi, without expectation of any results, if you study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also Vangmaya Tapasya. Vangmaya Tapasya. Studying Shastram. That without expectation of any results, purely for sake of self-realization. So that is all involved in this. So let's look at that. Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Prehidam Chayal Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyade. So, this verse is the second austerity. First one was Sharirigam, based on the body. Now it is based on the words, what we speak. Udvegam means, when you have spoken something, does it make any wave in the other person's mind? Chittavritti. If it creates chittavritti in the other person's mind, about what you have spoken, then it is not anudvegakaram. If it creates udvegam in the other person's mind. Or if somebody speaks to you, whatever he has spoken to you, if it's creating peace inside in the mind, that it is anudvegakaram. By hearing those words, if it creates shanti or peace inside us by hearing something, then those words are considered to be anudvegakaram. That's how we understand that. Anudvegakaram vakyam. Therefore, what it comes to, you have to always talk about Krishna. Nothing else. Otherwise, it will create udvegam. Material talk, material gossiping and all that is udvegam, isn't it? It creates udvegam. Therefore, it is said that always to discuss shastram, talk about shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, all of them, Ramayana, Bharatam, in innumerable literature we have to discuss, isn't it? So all of them does not create any udvegam inside. Instead, it creates shanti inside. Therefore, it is anudvegakaram. That is what it leads to. Anudvegakaram vakyam. So, particularly in music, for example, or when you are teaching shastram, similarly, doctor who is treating the patients, all of them, similarly, a teacher, school teacher or lecturer, when he is teaching the students, their words should be such, there should be a healing power in their words. It should not cause disturbances inside. That way they have to convey the message. This is important. Even while presenting shastram to people, it has to be spoken in such a way, it should not disturb them in their mind. It should not cause any disturbances. That's what Krishna is saying. So there is a way of discussing shastram, presenting the shastram. So always the underlying principle while discussing shastram. Similarly, doctors, when they treat the patients, they should speak in such a way that it should not create anxiety in their heart. Doctor shouldn't tell the patient, there's not much hope, you're on your way out. For this you don't need a doctor, isn't it? Anybody can say that. That's not proper. Even the doctor has to give him always the hope that something can be done. We'll try. We are trying. In a way they speak, there are so many good doctors. They're not good in the medicine, but they're good at speaking. You may have come across. I have come across that, some say, that some of them, so good, such sweet talkers, that if you see them, your disease will go. such good people they are. They're not very qualified. He doesn't need any medical journals. He don't read any medical journals. He doesn't have any qualifications. Just by their way of speaking. And you will also, this is also there in the medical profession. If you see, when you talk to, sometimes, if you had a lot of problems with your body, and you've had many operations, and you manage to meet up with some consultants, some of them, how they speak, they'll speak in such a way,
that they will, you will come out of the room in a peaceful way, even though the patient may be dying. Doesn't matter. But that is the power of that speech. That's what I'm saying. The power of speech. So doctors are supposed to be sweet talkers. They have to know. They have, their profession also tells them that they have to be in a, they're trained in that way. They're trained in that way, to speak in that way. So it's an important part of that profession. It is like that. Similarly, when somebody is teaching Shastram, he has to follow this principle. That not to hurt anybody. It's not with that intention. That's, then the Shastram has not served the purpose. Rather, the healing power inside. Anudvegaram Vakyam, Krishna is saying like that. It is there in music also, while teaching the music. So, so what is the main benefit of that? That udvegam should not be happen. No negative emotions or disturbances should come inside the mind. Sometimes when you speak the truth, people won't like it, is it not? But hitam, that means that should not mislead that person. If it is misleading somebody, then it is not vangmayam tapasya. It is, if it is mislead somebody, in the name of preaching, you go and mislead everybody in the world with all your false ideas and drag them to hell or put them into very awkward situations. It has happened like that many times. If you do to others like that, that is dangerous. That's, Krishna won't like that. Krishna says that's disturbing to others. So that means saying something which will mislead others. And such words, you have to be careful so that they don't come out of the mouth. Knowingly or unknowingly, it should not happen. Isn't it? So, when the mind moves away from self, Atma, from the place where it is supposed to be, that means fixed on the truth, moves away, when Brahmasham happens. Brahmasham means this displacement of the mind. That means it has fallen into the influence of Maya. Instead of being fixed on the soul, it is fallen, victimized by Maya. It is at that time we will speak some nonsense without any sense. It will come out from that. When Ramachandra saw Hanuman, he spoke about this like this. He says, in his words, there is not one Brahmasham, he says. Not even one Brahmasham. Brahmasham means that what he is speaking, it's coming from the self, Atma. It's not coming from a mind influenced by Maya. That's what it is. Of course, it's our personalities like that. You can see when Ramachandra talking about Hanuman, so glorified way, not only because he is a devotee, because he is a highly realized jnani as well, Hanuman, son of son, Anjaneya Swami, isn't it? So, Ramachandra talks about him, Anidvegagaram Vakyam, he says like that. That is tapasya. And in for do happening for this purpose only, they say silence is necessary to practice silence for this purpose. So, in other words, forcefully not allowing the words to come out from the mouth. Not words to come out from the mouth. Silence helps to develop this quality of anudvegakaram vakyam. So maunam. Maunam means silence. Krishna is going to talk about that. Mano maunam. So this is only a discipline. Some people practice this silence, isn't it? Once a week, one day they won't speak to anybody. There are many people I know who days together, they are traveling, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and other Shastram, but once in a way they will go away from everything and spend about 10 or 15 days at home, and they call as silence period. They won't speak anything because they know it's necessary for them to do that. So, or to make a decision that for 12 or 14 hours you won't speak anything, to stay maunam. So, these are all little tapasya for the vangmayam. Small tapasya. Many people who do these things. So, most of our energy in the body, it goes through the words. It's not physically dissipated.
All our energy, majority of it, is through speech. That goes away, isn't it? You can see this. Many, many great personalities knew this. Mahatma Gandhi knew this. That's why when in the middle of the freedom fighting for independence, he will go into this, Maunavratam. For a few days, he goes into silence. It was needed for them because while dealing with so many people, you can imagine how many millions he has to deal with, and his words were impacting on people to such an extent, the reaction that was coming from that, and the government who were dealing with them, how they will react to that, he felt the responsibility for that. He felt that responsibility. And therefore, when he spoke also, his words were so selective, not to hurt, not to create any ill feeling in the heart of the people who are fighting. In such a way he had to present. It is easy to whip up the passions in people and make them to fight against the authorities, isn't it? That's what we find in many places. But to control a huge population like that without creating any hate inside, in their heart, and to continue with the fight to get what is to be done, what has to be got done, that was a big austerity. That is achieved through this Vaṅmayam tapasya. That is the power of that austerity of the words. So what he used to do, if you read his autobiography and other books, you will see there mentioning that when stress has built up within so strongly, he will go for a week or 10 days in silence. In silence. Because all the energy goes through this thinking and speaking. Thinking and speaking. He was conscious of that very much. So those who are, you can see all the rishis and Krishna's instructions, it's all about ourselves, not about the world. Look after ourselves, look at ourselves and improve our own situation. Everything will be okay. Don't have to worry about the rest of the world. That is the attitude the rishis have taken in life. And that is what most of these great personalities followed. They followed the same thing, isn't it? So similarly, in the big mathams also, mathadivadis, acharyas who are managing the Kanji or Shingeri, wherever it is, mathadivadis, they also, when they follow Ekadashi and so many other important festivals, they won't speak, they will stay quiet. They will stay about it. So, particularly those big personalities who are in the middle of activities in this world, for them it is necessary. If the whole day, if you cut the wood, you won't lose as much energy if you speak for 2 hours. That much energy gets drained in the body. It is so fast the energy goes away from the body. Because the reason for that is, words are subtle, sushmam. And words are nothing but pranam. Pranam directly leaving you. Pranam directly leaving you. So that is why Vaṅmayam, Krishna is saying, if you want to save your energy, if you want to save your energy, more than physical activity, it is through the words. If you don't speak, then you will save a lot of your energy. So that is why the first stage is in the yoga process. The first step in the yoga process is, yogasya pradamadvaram vang nirodha, says Patanjali. Yogasya pradamadvaram, the first step in the yoga system is vang nirodha, can stop the words. Stop the words. So if you find that difficult, then in order to escape from that, in the adhyalpam, how to use it for swadhyayam. Use it for swadhyayam. That we'll see. So, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Suppose you want to speak, you are now finding it difficult to control the words. In which case, best thing is to take Srimad Bhagavatam and to read loudly and get your that energy dissipated through the words. Dissipated through the words. So, but even if it is there, if there is silence inside, then ultimately the benefit is that you will know when you are practicing that silence that how much we are talking in this world uselessly. Useless things. How much we talk in this world.
If you look into the whole day and see what all you have spoken on that day, you can see 95% was useless things, what we have spoken, isn't it? Because so many things will come up inside our mind. We won't say this outside, isn't it? So if you don't say it outside, how many problems you have escaped, you will come to know at that time. It's by speaking only all the problems are created. Had you not spoken them, you may not have got into so many problems either, isn't it? So, because we have released that, what I've thought about it, and I've spoken about it, that has caused the problems, isn't it? So, Brahmananda Swamiji, one of his disciples, he mentioned that somebody else has spoken about him, about Brahmananda Swamiji. So his disciple wrote a letter about it to him, to the spiritual master, and sent this letter that he has written like this. So our emotions, sometimes it will come like that in a natural way. It's not wrong that naturally emotions will come. And especially in relationship with the spiritual master or in relationship with Krishna, when about the Supreme Personality of, and if it comes out at that time, if it is in relationship with Krishna and if it's beneficial for us, it's okay. If it's beneficial for us, it is okay. So what is Krishna saying here is that if you are dependent on the shelter of shade of Krishna, shelter of Krishna or the spiritual master, then that will be a protective armor for you when you are criticized, is it not? For example, when we talk about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all, although many people may not agree with many things what we say, and they may criticize you for that. They may say to you something sometimes. Whatever you have spoken is not proper, it's against the Shastram, or according to their mind, or whatever they thought about you, something bad, and they may say something. But if you are under the shelter of the spiritual master, or the previous acharyas, you take their shelter. That is how you don't get affected by that. That person is saying something, but I am under the shelter of all the sampradaya acharyas. They will protect me. That faith, Shastram. That faith in the Shastram. That is where you get protected, isn't it? So this letter, this disciple sent this to Brahmananda Swami, what the person has written. Brahmananda Swami says, yes, it's very good, he said, this letter. You should write like this. But he has felt like this and he has written like this. And so this person said, he has used very strong words when he wrote this letter. And so Brahmananda Swami said to his disciple who was with him that this letter, whatever is written is okay, but don't reply it now. Give a couple of days time and then you can reply, whatever you want to reply. Because we shouldn't react in the same way like the person he has written. And saying like this, Brahmananda Swami said to him that don't write so strongly and write it in such a way, but write to him a few days later, the reply for that. If we get a letter, immediately we'll reply straight away, isn't it? So Brahmananda Swami said like that. So the disciple noticed that after a couple of days, the emotions have cooled down inside. He didn't feel like writing in the same way. So he wrote the letter and then he said, give another 2 days and then post it. So time changes all these things. So after 2 more days before he had to post, the whole situation became more fluid. In other words, it has become much more relaxed about it, isn't it? And then he sent the letter. And he wrote in such a way, whatever you have told us, it has helped us to improve our own situation. In a very thankful mood, he wrote this letter to him. And I have tried to correct many of the faults what you have indicated to me. By writing like that, that like a love letter, he wrote back in the reply to him. So because of this, enmity was not created between the two persons. Anudvegakaram vakyam, Krishna saying. So there is a way of dealing with situations like that. That not to react sharply to people. And these incidents just happen many times. Many times this happens in spiritual life also. Instead of presenting everything very legal and becoming very strict about everything, given time, it will melt inside. And if you write in such a way that for thanking him for pointing out the faults what you have mentioned, we'll try to correct all that things. In that way, that person who has criticized, his critical nature also will go away from him. He will feel that it has not hurt him. He will feel a little bit more peaceful about that. So these are the things what Krishna is mentioning here. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam prehitam chayat. He is saying like that. So emotions, when they come inside the mind, you have to give time for some time for them not to erupt before the volcano erupts from inside, isn't it? So you will see there that slowly it is changing inside without our, and that healing power is coming from Atma, the soul. Otherwise, it should have the same intensity after 10 days, isn't it? When something is spoken harshly, somebody has abused you or did something to you which hurt you so badly, it doesn't remain like that for the rest of the life. It'll be there for about few days, and then eventually you'll start thinking, what can I do? It has happened. You become first in a little bit more peaceful about that. And over a period of time, you don't take it anymore seriously. So where is that healing power coming from? That comes from Atma. Atma's power, that is. Like Shanti comes from inside, isn't it? From Atma. This is why they Shandoyam Atma. Atma is Shanti. Shanti is the very quality of the Atma. So Atma brings the Shanti and puts a cover on that, and that emotion has died. Emotion has gone away in due course. So many things happens in life in that way. So many people hurt us. So many people talk rudely to us. Or they may do certain things which may be totally against our life in many other ways. It can happen. But even then, Shandoyam, that Shanti, Atma has that power to do that. So because Maunam, Krishna saying, is for that Samyamanam, the first stick. In family life, because what is inside us, we blur it out, throw it out straight away. And then afterwards we think, oh, I shouldn't have spoken like that, isn't it? And then we say to them, oh, I didn't mean that. We say, after saying everything what we want to say, we say, I didn't mean that actually. Then our commentary on that, what we have spoken. We give the commentary also for what was spoken later. Something we have spoken, and after we have spoken, we realized it, I shouldn't have spoken like that. So for that samyamanam control, this silence, maunam vratam helps. Krishna is saying that. Maunam vratam helps for that. And also, it will not create udvegam in the other person's mind. That is a tapasya. So, shariram, when we say, kritam ca sunrata vani, that is how Bhagavadam says this. Kritam ca sunrata vani. And that means, when you hear that, it should create knowledge of the self inside. Kritam ca sunrata vani, Krishna is saying there. That means your words should be such, it should create knowledge of the self inside and the other person, not about the body. Not about the body. Only such words should be spoken, Krishna says. Of course, that's a very higher understanding. Because in order that no other udvegam or vigaram or emotions, if you don't want any udvegam or vigaram or emotion to develop in another person, that will only happen if you talk about the soul. That is Krishna's conclusions. Because people will ask this question, isn't it? How can you do that? Anudvegakaram vakyam. How is that possible? That is only possible if you talk about Atma or relationship with Atma. Any other thing, if you talk about it in this world, it will create Udvegam. It will create some emotions, anger, greed, lust, whatever it is, it will be created by that. Therefore, Krishna says, Kridamja Sunrada Vani. Kridamja Sunrada Vani, he says here. So that means when he hears this, it should bring him experience of the self. Experience of the self. Such words should be spoken and Shanti will should come to him. And that tapasya, speaking like that, that is tapasya. That is tapasya. If you glorify someone or praise someone, or if you insult someone, both are wrong. Both are wrong. And this is a difficult topic, isn't it? Because normally in the world, we say, oh, you have to appreciate him for what he has done. We say like that, isn't it? Appreciating others. So this appreciation turns into glorifications later. Saying that. So that is why in the Bhagavadam that very, very high power verse that is. Parasabhava Karmani, that verse, 28th chapter. Parasabhava Karmani, na prashamsadi, na nindadi. Ya ashubhrashade swatal, asatyam abhiniveshada. Parasabhava Karmani, ya prashamsadi, ya nindadi. Two verses, one after the other, isn't it? So, 20, Parasabhava Karmani, you have to remember that verse all the time. So there are such verses. You, 28, isn't it? Yeah, 1 and 2. Parasabhava Karmani, first is Krishna says, no praising, no criticizing anybody. Na prashamsaye, na grahaye. Vishwam ekalmagam pashyan. There is only one truth, that is Atma here. Nothing else is truth here. Prakritya Purushana cha. And that truth is present here as Prakriti and Purusha. Atma and the material nature. Nothing else. Vishwam ekalmagam pashyan Prakritya Purushana cha. After saying that, Krishna is saying, Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. One who is doing that, he says, sa ashubhrashyade brahmsham. That brahmsham has happened. The word brahmsham there, we can see. So, ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. He is already holding on to the false. Asatyam abhiniveshada. Asatyam abhiniveshada in him. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, Uddhava, here there is only one thing, that is Atma. There is only one Atma that is present everywhere. There is no personality anywhere here. This is what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. There is no personality anywhere. Personality is a false thing. Society is a false thing. Our relationships are all false thing as far as Krishna is concerned. That's the first thing to understand. If you have understood that or if you have accepted that, then there is no question of praising, there is no question of criticizing or what Krishna calls it as? Nindadi. Na prashamsadi, na nindadi. Because only reality is Atma. Nothing else is real. Nothing else is real. So that is why, or we will say like that, that he has... So this is an important sadhana in the Jnana Margam. This is an important sadhana in the Jnana Margam. So because we speak gossip or whatever we are speaking, it is with the understanding that we are recognizing there is a personality there. Is it not? First you are recognizing the personality. It is after that you are speaking. So both are wrong. Personality doesn't exist. And of course this is for those who have gone very high in the spiritual life. They will be able to do it. Ordinary people will find it hard. But principle doesn't change. In reality what Krishna is saying to us is that if you recognize that there is a personality existing, and if you are speaking, then both are wrong. Both are wrong. Because only in the level of personality, all the conversation happens in this world. Is it not? Because it's always also based on the... So it, this is one of the most powerful sadhana in the Jnana Margam. And that means as much as possible to speak in such a way without the involvement of the personality. Without the involvement of the personality. That means not recognizing the personality and talking about things like that. And then instead of saying he did this, that man did that, and who can do like him? Nobody else can do like that. Things like that. So, or saying that somebody else is such a nice person, or someone else is a very bad person. So he did this mistake, and all these things, these dimensions, one should avoid. Uddhava, he says to him, ekalmagam. Krishna uses the word ekalmagam because prakriti, there is only one. Isham ekalmagam fashion. And one vastu is present here as man and woman, as prakriti and purusha. One vastu is one, atma. And he has come here and presenting in front of us in the form of prakriti and in the form of purusha. Purusha and prakriti are the two things you can see in the creation process also. When Brahma created Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa, from creation it happened in two different male and female form came out from that. So similarly, that is, as well as the personality level when we are talking about. But material nature, prakriti came from Atma. Prakriti came from Atma. And prakriti is also purusha. Purusha and prakriti are one and the same. From Atma they have both come. So Krishna says, anudvegakaram vakyam, amrita bhashanaha. So those kind of words which does not create any drive inside, negative emotions. And it should not cause any negative emotions, cause any short circuit inside. Like in the electricity, it causes a short circuit, isn't it? So similarly, words should not be spoken which will create any short circuit inside. We have a certain flow of our mind, beliefs, thoughts, everything. Suppose somebody comes and injects something and it upsets the whole thing inside. Krishna says this earlier also, isn't it? If you look into the third or fourth chapter while talking about Karma Yoga, he also says, even while talking to others, he said, you should not mislead that person. He said that it should not cause any kind of what's that? I think it is in the Na buddhivedam janayed, Krishna says. Buddhivedam. Na buddhivedam janayed. Don't know which word that is. Na buddhivedam janayed. I think that is the... which one? 326, yeah? Yeah. See that? Na buddhivedam janayed. Ajnanam karma sanginam joshayed sarvagaram vani vidwan yukta samacharan. Na buddhivedam janayed ajnanam karma sanginam yo joshayed sarvagaram vani vidwan yukta samacharan. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working with the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So that's what it is. So again, na buddhivedam janayet. Buddhivedam, one should not create anudvegakaram vakyam, over whatever we have spoken. So here, to practice in such a way that to use such words which do not create a moment inside of others' mind. In Bhagavadam, while talking about this, yadha tathya kathanam, Krishna says in one place, yadha tathya kathanam, satyam, truth should be spoken, but the truth is being spoken, but people will not like it. People will not like it. And those who like that are very, very few. who will speak the truth which others may not always like it. And truth may not be always palatable for us. We may not like it, isn't it? So when truth is spoken, we have to remember this. When truth is spoken, the person who is, if he has to accept it, that person must be qualified for that. That is the Rishi's words. Rishis are saying to us, they are talking to us about the truth. And when they are talking about the truth, if it has to get accepted, that person who is hearing that truth, he should be qualified for that. That is what they say. That is what they say. That, and therefore, if it is not, if he does not like it, silence is better. Silence is better. You shouldn't speak lie for that purpose. You shouldn't speak lie for that purpose. Very difficult, complicated world, isn't it? Especially in business, salesmen, when they want to sell the product, they will do anything to get the product sold. Is it not? Insurance policies and many, many products, companies, when they sell, you want to buy a car, he'll present the glorify the car. There'll be a lot of lies in that, what they speak. Is it not? So all these things are difficult in life in many, many ways. So Vibhishana sold this to Ravana, that if you do not, if you don't want to speak the truth, and if you feel that it's going to cause problems with the other side, then silence is the better thing to do. But don't speak the lies, Vibhishana says to him. And Ravana threw him out from the palace, isn't it? Ravana threw him out. He said, I don't want you here. So Vibhishana says at that time, the nature of the world is like this. And in this world, what is Satyam and what is Priyam, those words which is spoken with Satyam and Priyam, what Krishna says here, those words are very, very few. Very, very few. So, on the other hand, there is very few words which are Satyam and which is Priyam. When we speak about Satyam and Priyam, those words, people who speak that and people who hear that, they are very, very few in this world. So, saying like this only, Vibhishana left the palace. What he was saying, that I have spoken the truth to Ravana, but he is not willing to accept it. He is not willing to accept it. So, but very few people will tell you, Ravana, the truth. I am telling you, he said. Very few of your ministers or friends will tell you the truth. Nobody will tell you. I am telling you, he says to Ravana. And finally, Ravana wouldn't accept it. Ravana threw him out, Vibhishana, isn't it? He says, I'm not going to allow you to stay here in the palace. I have to leave. Vibhishana left, and then he comes and surrenders to Ramachandra, Sharanagadi. So, Vibhishana Sharanagadi is famous in the Ramayana. So, Vibhishana says at that time to Ramachandra, those who speak like this are very few in this world. And equally, those who will take these instructions seriously in life are also few. Are also few. Majority will be like Ravana. They won't listen to it. Isn't it? It is saying like that Vibhishana left the palace. So in Adhyalpam, in spiritual life, if we want to get better, then you have to have some people who will abuse you. It will help. Will abuse you. And in the Adhyatma Lokam, people have studied the Shastram or the books, and they have started preaching or presenting to that. The problem is that they have not got used to this getting abused by the public. But normally you will see, once you have come to this preaching line, preaching business talking to others in this way, so naturally you will get abused by people. So 10 or 15 years, if you get abused like that from the public, then it will do a lot of good for us. will do a lot of good for us. Paramacharya used to mention this. He says that in his childhood, there were people, they will abuse you if your eyelids lashes up or down. They will criticize you for that. He says, now I am indebted to all of them who have criticized me. He says about himself, he has heard enough in his life. Throughout life, he had been criticized by others, but he did not hurt them or respond to them in the same way. So this is why Krishna is saying that when somebody abuses or criticizes, from spiritual point of view, it's not allowed. And those who are following the spiritual path, they have to take care. Although the rest of the world may not follow that. Rest of the world may not follow. They will criticize you. They will abuse you. Or they will be negative in many, many ways. So, when somebody criticizes us and talks to us, we should be able to hear and tolerate that. That humility we have to have. Krishna is saying that is a tapas. When somebody speaks to us or criticizes us and rudely speaks to us, able to hear that humility is necessary. Initially, Krishna says, you may not like it, but whether we like it or not, if they are saying something which is of beneficial to us, able to accept that, and that is necessary. For example, you can see, they guide us in our life, that mistakes have happened in our life in previous times. So able to become sensitive to that and able to correct our ways. So that is the way we have to mold our life. We are unable to do that because we don't have that force inside. Father and mother must criticize the children. Must criticize the children. Shasanam, shasanam kuryad. Shasanam is necessary. Not being nice to them all the time. That's not allowed. It is not, that is a shastram saying. That shasanam kuryad. Shasanam is necessary. So, small children, babies, you have to pat them. Smaller babies, you have to pat them. After 1 year old, you have to instruct them. You have to instruct them. If you did not instruct them, that his own Buddhalma inside, later on, they will curse you for not correcting them at the right time in their life, when they are small, say from 1 year onwards, when they are growing up. At the proper time, if they were not instructed, they will curse you later for not instructing them properly. Because the senses and the mind is not very friendly with the soul, you know. The senses and the mind is not friendly with the soul. So, the soul will curse you later. That means, Antaryami inside will curse you for not controlling their mind and senses at the right age in life, when they were small. Isn't it? The senses and the mind, its relationship is with the material nature, not with the self. That's the reason for that. Senses and the mind, its connection or relationship is always with the prakriti, not with the self, is it not? So this age, from one onwards, when the children are growing up, at that time, continuously it's establishing its relationship with the matter, outside, with the nature. That is where help is required. He needs that help, proper instructions from the parents, and help from outside agencies, correcting them. That's necessary. So therefore, because the connection is with the material nature, that child will demand so many things. And he may, desire will come to him inside to have so many things, possessions and enjoyment and all that. His senses will demand, his mind will demand. Both will demand. Senses and the mind will demand. Because senses and the mind has its contact with the world outside. Our duty is not to supply all that all the time. If you do that, they will curse you later. What they want is somebody stopping them from developing that relationship with the world in that way. So if you have helped them to control their desire, in somehow or the other, if you manage to control their desire growing up inside, they'll be thankful, grateful to you later life. In later life, it will happen. They'll feel that happiness much later, that they were able to control their senses with somebody's help and assistance, and you have contributed to that. And therefore, that gratitude will come from them. Instead, you can see this. Many, many parents who have supplied so much material happiness to the children when they were small, thinking that they are making them happy, later on, they got cursed by those very children in the later life. Why? Because what, not knowing what is the actual requirement of the child, we have, based on our mental understanding, we supplied them all kinds of sense gratification, and it has come back to us in a different way at later date. And the relationship is broken, and then you feel unhappy about it. And then you feel that I have tried to satisfy him and help him and make him happy all through my life, but at the end of the life he has completely abandoned me. These thoughts will come. So these are all things what the rishis knew better. That is why they say to us, you have to correct the children at that age. So senses will demand many, many things, because senses are in contact with the sense objects, isn't it? And if you say to them from outside, you don't need that, the senses will get a little burned. The senses will naturally, it will rebel inside, isn't it? But inside there will be happiness. Senses will rebel. Children, you can notice this. If you say to them something, straight away they will react. Oh, no, 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 it's not like, I don't want it, I want it. Anything for that. But inside, after a while, you will see a shanti in him. Because he didn't have that sense gratification. Isn't it? So, and so therefore, there is two levels, two phases inside all of us. Inside all of us. And we will have one weakness. And that weakness is through the senses in contact with the Prakriti. It's contact with the senses, with the Prakriti. Contact with the Prakriti. And that is due to the contact with the Prakriti. And that will say, I want this thing, I want that thing, so many things. And and if the father, mother also is thinking that, when soon as he says he wants this, and then not knowing that, it may cause some problem to him later. And if you buy and supply, finance it to get that to him, his senses will be pleased, but the Antaryami will not be pleased inside. Bhudatma, or Bhudatma means Antaryami in charge of the senses. He's called, senses are all Panchabhudam, isn't it? Panchabhudam is the five material elements. This material body is made of five material elements. Panchabhudam. This Panjabhudam's controller is called Bhudatmava, who is a manifestation of Antaryami. These are all words. Vastu is one. Antaryami is one. But when he is in charge of control of the material elements of the body, he is called Bhudatmava. So Bhudatmava will be pleased if you have controlled his demand from the senses. Demand from the senses. And suppose you have brought something and supplied him all the sense gratification, in that case, what will happen is, this Bhudatmava in that person, he will curse the parents for what they have done. And on the other hand, they have done anything in their life, knowing very well what is hitam, good for that person, then it will please that Bhudatma inside. The children, when you tell them all these things, They will bring all their logic and argument and play with your emotions. They will say, what kind of father are you? What kind of mother are you? You are my father. Whom else will I go to? You are my mother. Whom else will I ask all these things? And they will play with your emotions like this. But even at that time, we need this clarity inside. If the child is driven in that direction, ultimately you are not doing anything good for him. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, but inside, the Bhudatma inside that child will bless you. And this thing, even in the modern research, the psychologists are also saying this now. After so many years, they are thinking about that. So, so with Priyam, Shasana is necessary. But even when Shasana is done, it should be done with Priyam. Not with hate and
enmity. It's not creating an enemy inside, but it is done in such a way, that is what Krishna is saying here, satyam prehitam chayat. It is done in such a way that with priyam it is spoken, but it is shasana, disciplining him with priyam. Such parents that after a year or so, when the children are grown up, they will treat their parents as godly. Feeling will be there, respect will be there inside. They may not show it to you externally, but inside you will notice that they have a respect for you, for what you have done to them. And the time when they needed that control inside, when they on their own could not control it, and you have come as an external source, help them in getting that control of the senses, and that gratitude inside comes from Bhudalma. Comes from Bhudalma. So, on the other hand, the parents who have brought everything and given everything what the child has asked for, and they will leave you and go, and then find they don't want to know anything about you. They say, we have nothing to gain from you. This will be their attitude. Because this double personality, what is inside all of us, one personality says, we want the tapas, austerity inside. Other personality says, we want to be in contact with the material nature. In all of us, it's there. One personality is telling us, I want to enjoy the senses. I want everything in the material world. Even now it is like that in all of us. Is it not? And another personality inside is telling us that tapas is necessary, control of the senses is necessary, and austerity is necessary. One side it is telling us. On the other side, the senses are driving us towards enjoyment of happiness in this world. Isn't it? So, this prakriti, the two different personalities inside, one which is taking us into the tapas, which is telling us that this dual personality, one which is telling us to perform austerities or tapas, the other one which says to us to have contact with prakriti, prakriti sambandham it is called, prakriti sambandham. So these dual personalities operating from childhood in all of us. Only thing is when we become much older, we get that little bit understanding to restrict things and we are able to control it. Therefore, we are able to move away from the prakriti. But in the childhood, that hasn't happened. So, prakriti sambandham is sensual, the senses demanding from them, and bringing this prakriti sambandham under control or samyamanam, this is the responsibility of the spiritual master and the parents. Both the spiritual master and the parents, it is their responsibility to bring this senses, contact with the prakriti and that enjoying nature mood, enjoying mood to go to the prakriti and to enjoy, to restrict that and bringing it under control is the responsibility of the spiritual master as well as the parents. And those who are doing that, that is hitam. That hitam is anushasanam. Yoga anushasanam, Veda anushasanam, yogam, vedam, all this is saying is this anushasanam. So, and suppose somebody is instructing us in that way, and if you are willing to accept that, it will create samyamanam. What Krishna calls it as samyamanam. Samyamanam means that control inside will develop strongly. Power, develop controlling power will develop inside. So, word should be, Krishna says, anudvegaram vakyam satyam prehitam chayat. And so when somebody is instructing from a shastram, from higher level, accepting that, that is what is important. Not questioning that and going against that. Instead accepting that, if you do that, what will happen? That means allowing and surrendering to that principle. If somebody abuses or criticizes us, and accepting that, if we do that, the senses and the mind will get purified. And the senses and the mind will move away from its contact with the prakriti. These are all the after effects of that. So, you heard about this, haven't you? I mentioned so many times before, this famous story about Socrates. What a great personality he was. Socrates never kept any inimical feeling towards his wife. And she used to happen to be somewhat in an eccentric state. And Socrates used to discuss with his disciples so much about the philosophical thoughts. Many things Socrates has spoken is from the Upanishads. And those days the Greek philosophers studied Upanishads seriously. That is how many things has come to the Western culture from the Upanishad side. It is through the Greek philosophers. So we are indebted to them. That is why when Prabhupada spoken about the Greek philosophers, particularly Aristotle, Socrates and others, he has always shown the link between their teachings and the Upanishad's knowledge. They had a tremendous interest in the, because Greece had a long relationship with the Bharatavarsham from long before their times. And you can imagine Alexander came and he took, wanted many yogis to come to Greece. And that is how Western culture is very much dependent on the Greece philosophy, isn't it? Greek philosophy. So you can understand that Socrates was very much imbibed by these qualities, and his wife always used to criticize or abuse him in many, many ways. And the people who were coming to him, they used to think about this, that so many people respected Socrates, but why she is so abusive to him, and why does he keep her like this, a person like this with him all the time? So, Socrates used to say like this to them, you're all coming and telling me nice things. And when I hear a lot of that, I want the other one also a little bit to balance this, he says. So he's so intelligent, Socrates was. He says, when I hear so much of your glorification of me and praising me, I need something other side also. Because only then it becomes probably balanced, he says. Socrates' answer was that. To that. Otherwise I will create all these things and it will create problem for me in my head. But if I hear the other side also, so they are saying it's nice to keep a wife at home who will give you enough trouble so that you will always feel a little down. Lokanno dijate chaya harsha amarsha bhaya udyogir muktoya sachamaya priya. So if it's nice to have some relationship like that, but it shouldn't go to the extreme. It should carry on in that way as it is. Krishna mentions this, isn't it? If you look into the 12th chapter, he says, Harsha Marsha Bhaya Udyogir Muktoya Sachamaya Priya. 12th chapter. Yasmano Dijade Logo. Logano Dijade Chaya. Harsha Amarsha Bhaya Udyogir Muktoya Sachamaya Priya. Because by this relationship, husband-wife relationship, this will bound to happen. There will be arguments, there will be fights, and it's mutually purifying. It's mutually purifying. And we will understand the benefit of that, how it has purified us finally. No, this thing called relationship I have mentioned, it's not a real thing. So you got to pay the price for it. Relationship has to pay the price for it. You have to take it, you have to give it also. There's nothing you can do about it. But all within the framework of dharma. That is the most important thing. Never to break the principle of that boundary they have laid out. If you stay within the boundary and operate, it will only do good. But if you break the boundary and operate, it will damage everything, it will destroy. That is what Krishna is saying here also, that that harsha marsha amarsham bhayam udvegam, in that verse it is saying like that, that udvegam, the word, so udvegam should not happen, and that is a part of this tapasya, So satyam should be spoken, paramarthigam, and it should be priyam to others. Priyam means, and it should be hitam, it should do good to them. And priyam, suppose in the process of, oh, I'll speak something priyam to somebody, it should not be lying. You shouldn't lie to others in order to please somebody. I'll go and tell you so many lies and then he'll pleased with me. That's not allowed. That is what Krishna said there. Satyam priyahidam chayat. You can speak priyam, but it should do good to him. Hidam. Otherwise if you speak something wrong to somebody and then wind him up with all sorts of things, wrong things he has spoken, and he gets disturbed. That is not satyam priyahidam chayat. So, sometimes it is like that. So, sometimes you'll see people will say something and or something, they will create enmity inside, and they will, without saying anything, they will go. Suppose sometimes you say something, they will feel upset, and they won't say anything to you, but they will go away without saying anything.
And so, if they are not accepting what you are saying, then keep quiet. Don't say anything about it. And if they can't bear it, silence is the best solution. So, because some people are very egoistic, isn't it? Very strong ego they have. And whatever you may say to them, they will think that you are finding fault with them. You are finding fault with them, or you are finding critical of them, you are being critical of them, or or wherever their Shraddha is, accordingly their reception will be. You see, that's what important point there. That when you are saying something to someone, he may listen, but the acceptance will depend on their Shraddha, that person's Shraddha. If their Shraddha is not there, that will not be accepted. The receptivity will not be there. Therefore, they will start thinking, oh, you are finding fault with him. You are criticizing me. You are finding fault with me. And they will not think in terms of thinking about their well-being. In other words, they won't think their hitam. Hitam means, what he has spoken to me, is it beneficial to me? They will not think like that. He will think in the other way, oh, he's only finding fault with me. So, two ways it can go. Either it can go in a positive way, or it can go in a negative way. Positive way is to listen and then to think what he has spoken, is it of any benefit to me? Am I listening to it in the right way? Otherwise, what will happen is, he will say, oh, this person is simply not speaking the right thing, he's only criticizing so many people, and he will not listen anymore. He will go away from there. So all these complications are there. Even while speaking so many things, even in spiritual life, this does happen. You say things, people listen, and then their mind from inside is saying to them that this person has an agenda, or this person is saying all these things because he's very critical of others, he's envious, and he's very offensive, and that person will go. There's nothing you can do about it, isn't it? So, in that situation, by saying that, it's not going to help. So, why? Because that person who is receiving it, he is in that plane. He is in that plane. So, in that case, one has to follow the Mauinam. So, one has to follow the Mauinam. So, I think we will stop today there. It's 11:30. There's more things Krishna has spoken about in this chapter. It's on the 10-12 verses. Hopefully another 2 or 3 classes we should be able to complete this chapter and move on to the 18th chapter. So this 17th chapter, the remaining parts, Krishna in this chapter is mostly about this tapasya, austerity, what one has to perform in the body, in the words, as well as in the mind. And after that, Krishna will summarize the whole thing in terms of Shraddha. How all these things, factors, is influencing one's Shraddha. Which means Devada, Aharam, Karmam, then Dhanam, and Tapasya. All these 5 things, how it's influencing one's Shraddha. Krishna will talk about that later. And again, under the 3 modes of material nature, when everything is changing. And finally, he will conclude this chapter with the Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesham Brahmana Trivida Smrita Brahmanastena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihitapura. A lot of interesting conclusions after that. And ultimately, he will also say what will happen if there is no Shraddha in spiritual life. Ashraddhaya Hudam Dattam Tapastaptam Kratam Chayan Asidit Uchade Pata Nachadat Pretino Iha. Anything that has happened without Shraddha in spiritual life, Krishna says here, it is all asat. Neither in this world nor in the next world will that be of any benefit to us. That's how Krishna concludes this chapter. So, I think we'll stop there today, and we'll continue next Saturday from where we will stop today and finish the 17th chapter announcements. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.